ready? Are you ready?
I was born ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jay, me, how's it going?
Going pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. You want to talk about my switchboard?
Yeah, I do. Tell me about your gadgets.
So I've got you're a musician person, so you know kind of how audio processing stuff works, right?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Huh. You got the bits and the bytes, and yeah. you feed them through the processors, and then you get the digital MP3s.
Absolutely. MP3s, MPGs, MP4s, AUGs.
Actually, I went a little deep into the audio and on the consumer side recently. So I invested in some nice audiophile grade headphones. Axel and I kind of took the plunge together. I got an external amp. I got a sound card. I got a terabyte hard drive just to put my waves and my FLAX on it.
Really?
And then I started going down that rabbit hole, and I still like it, but it's just not necessary at all.
That's fascinating, because I've went complete opposite route, where it's actually been in the last, I don't know, 6 months at the most, maybe more like three, where I'm just like, fuck, why do I have all this music on my devices? And I've just purged it all off. I'm like, I don't need, why do I have music on my iPod, on my iPhone? Burn it. Just get rid of it. It's taking up space. I don't use that crap. I've got maybe 50 songs on there now. And I'm like, why do I even have iTunes on my computer? Do I need that anymore?
No.
Yeah,
don't.
Exactly.
Google Play Music, man. $10 a month. It's amazing. It's like Pandora, except instead of when you tell Pandora to play you a radio station, it never plays you the actual song mm-hmm. that you want to base the radio station off of. Google Play Music will play you that song as many times as you want. It'll play you any song as many times as you want. It'll also make amazing radio stations. You can listen to whole albums. It's got all
this
sorts of...
This episode brought to you by Google Play Store.
Well, later
your
on it'll...
Your songs
seem...
are at hand.
Anytime you want. Listen to your...
Tired of advertisements in your music and audio files? Come over to Google Play Store Shop.
Do you like music that your dad likes?
Well, no. He sucks.
Damn it. Griffin, that was a selling point.
Oh, crap. But
you just turned it around real
quick,
though.
I'm the worst consumer ever.
Oh, man. You got to get that. Yeah, there's no reason. On a phone where there's 16 gigs of memory... And you got your games on there and whatnot. You're not going to – how many songs can you even put on there? I have FLAX where it's 300 megs a song. It's crazy. I can't put that stuff on my phone. I need my Google Play.
Yeah, maybe. But I got to the point where I was I hit this inflection point of wait a second. I should get I should look into a home theater, and I should look into a streaming thing, a streaming server, using my old components, and I'll just go, I'll run that way, and then I'll get an Apple TV, maybe two of them, and then I'll have music upstairs and downstairs, and I can just push it off my phone wherever I want. But then after a while, I was first of all, that costs way too much to actually do that stuff. And then I had to buy a bunch of speakers, and I hate speakers. And then I was you know what? When would I ever use this? Maybe once a month when it's just me here alone for 4 hours?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. It's music is something that you want to share with your friends. Google Play Music. So no, just having nice headphones, it's kind of limited in its availability. Yeah, I thought about having the whole home theater streaming situation. My answer to that is I literally just pick my giant tower up, carry it into the room with the TV, and just plug it in.
That's brilliant.
That's my answer to all that shit. I don't need anything. I have an HDMI. It's fine.
That's fine. Whatever. Plug it in. Yeah.
Just pick it up. Spend the 5 seconds it takes to carry your computer.
But I could spend $100 to connect it to Wi-Fi through my phone, and I just check it out. I swipe it off my phone to the device, and then it plays.
So if you tell me if you tell me the details of all the tech you used to record this, I probably won't understand. But
oh,
like,
don't worry. I don't understand it either.
But, like, how, like, are we talking, like, prohibitively expensive, or are we talking, like, attainable?
I mean, it's definitely attainable. Absolutely attainable. It's just, it all depends on, like, how far do you want to go? Because, like, even all the way in, like, as I am, I think that it's totally still attainable. Because I've got this M-Audio, like, external, I don't know what you call it, like a sound mixing sound card. It's basically like a super powered sound card that you connect in through USB or Wi-Fi or FireWire or whatever. And like it does all your audio processing outside of your computer.
Outside your computer. That's what people say is best because absolutely. Then it's shielded from all the stuff that's going on.
Yes, that is your number one get if you want to do this. And that, like, you can start there and go from there. Like, you can get that, and you can go for the high end one, get the one with the four, what are they called? The powered in lines. I always forget this technical stuff. XML, XLR. You get the XLR leads into it, four of them. And it's like $500 at the most, I think.
That's not bad.
It's not awful. I mean, it's half a grand. And that's just like, and that's just the stepping stone to get into it. So I've got one with two, and that was about, I think, $250.
Okay.
So then what I did for a while is I had one microphone, and I would like run this microphone in like a figure eight pattern. So you'd have two people sitting on each side of it, talking into the center. Over time, I bought enough microphones. I've got Samsung and I've got Behringer, like two high end, low end. One are like the Behringers are like $40. The Samsungs are like $100, $120 or something like that.
Cool.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna ask: do you make music? Are you? Or is this just for this?
This is for podcasting alone.
Do you rap?
I rap a tight game.
What would, if you were a rapper, what
stiff,
would your rap?
Dope, stiff to dope. Call me dope stiffy if you want. Actually, I prefer not to, I don't, I'm trying to leave that persona behind. Dope stiffy dope was stiffy. The younger me. Now I'm more jaded and alive, living life.
Did I tell you? Did I already talk on this podcast about the birthday present my dad bought for Jeff?
This sounds familiar, maybe.
All right. Well, I'll just say.
Like I said, I forget everything that's ever happened in podcasts.
So it's he bought a CD for Jeff called Booty Funk. Booty Funk Greatest Hits. It's a
how do they spell the funk?
Just regularly, just F-U-N-K. I mean, it's pretty classy, given what it is. Like, it's not in your face.
Oh, high-end booty funk.
Yeah, high-end booty funk. It features such songs as Da Butt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that song.
And I think there's actually another song literally just called The Butt.
not so to be confused with.
Da Butt. And then there's also Donkey Butt, but it's like Donkey Butt, but I believe in the song it's pronounced Donkey Butt. So don't make that mistake. Mm. And then it, you know, it finishes up nicely.
These
with
all sound like 4chan threads.
I haven't graced 4chan in quite a while.
Oh,
I think
Axel
is, I think Axel's still an avid 4chaner.
Okay, well, these sound like things that we blocked on Google Safe Search.
They're all really like tame 90s hits.
yeah
and it finishes up with This Is How We Do It, and he bought it specifically for Jeff. So yeah,
that's beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. Beautiful.
So
I've got a pretty decent setup here it's basically just like I've accrued stuff over time. So now I've got, like I said, the four mics. I've got the M audio box. But now I bought a mixer.
Oh, okay.
So I run in the mixer into the M audio box, so then I can control all the like mics through the mixer and then pipe it into GarageBand.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh.
And the mixer's got 6 potentially like 15 slots.
Is there any other pieces of equipment?
No, that's just, a bunch of boom mics. And see, this is like the used car dealership of getting into this stuff where it's like, yeah, absolutely. There's not a huge barrier to entry, but it's like, well, you got to get a microphone. Okay, now you have to get a microphone stand. Well, yeah, now you thought you were in $100. Now you're in, $130.
Jesus.
And then it keeps adding and adding. And you're like, oh, shit, cords? I have to get a cord for each one of these things? How long should I get? I can't get 15 feet seems way too long. But 3 feet? That seems way too short.
Too short.
How come 9 feet or 7 foot doesn't exist? And I'm like, 5 foot? That's like shorter than me. So I don't even like, really? Should I even get that?
It's tough. Are you eyeing anything?
No, I'm done.
No, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's the thing that's really killed me after all this whole process of like finally reaching this zenith of perfect podcasting setup is now I'm like, hey, I'm having the most fun doing it just online with you guys where all I need is one mic.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it always is, right? I spend all this money for this hi-fi audio equipment. I end up listening to Google Play Music in my car through an FM thing. You know those little things that bypass the FM radio?
Through the cassette tape that you connect in through your tape deck and plug into the...
It's worse than that. It's so bad. But yeah, that's how it goes. I must sound like crap to you, though. If you're using... Are you using like a boom mic right now? Your voice must be so deep.
I've got a mic on a stand. It's a good mic. Like, all this stuff sounds really good here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way the mixer works, it actually works out really well. I just don't get your low end, but that's fine. Like, the gain has always been an issue with podcasting. Like,
gotcha.
If you go cheap, you don't get the richness of voice and you don't, like, hit the high end, or you end up having to, like, turn your phone or whatever all the way up to the top of it to get a good sounding podcast. But if you get some more expensive equipment, then you can record at nice high levels and then export it really compressed, but still get good sound out of it. That's kind of like the give and take.
We should like somehow tag this as like the episode that you listen to if you want to get into this. Because like in my past lives, I've often wondered like what does it take? And I'm sure plenty of people would love to hear your little synopsis right there, because that sounds like a pretty rock solid setup there.
Yeah, but I also have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. Like, it's been a really bizarre learning process for like the past 5 years that I've been doing this, and now I just kind of have it working. Like, everything is balanced. It's like the end of Jenga. But I walk away. Like, I know I can't pull any more pieces from the tower because I know it's only going to just make it all crumble.
Just spray it with glue and leave it there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then just look at it every now and then. Frame it. That Jenga endgame, man.
That's right.
Talk about tough games.
Tech trees. Jenga tech tree. I go outside, outside, inside.
Okay. I go fire mage. That's what I do with Jenga. I just set it on fire. I set all the bricks on fire.
Wood blocks?
Yeah, exactly. Just set them on fire.
Yeah.
They're coated in something, but it doesn't stand up to my ferocity.
Pyrokinesis?
Speaking of spending money on stuff, I was going to tell you about how – so you coached me a few weeks back. You told me to just let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
Just let it go.
What?
That's what you said.
That doesn't sound like me.
No, you said just let it go.
Okay.
Do you know what we're referring to?
Yeah, I do remember. I said it like a jillion times.
We're referring to my fatty. My 40 gig fatty.
Oh, okay.
He's
been
my friend. We're not talking about anyone but my 40 gig fatty PS3,
right,
who's been my friend since 2007, and who started having some weird ass problems when I was playing Last of Us. It started sounding like a jet engine taking off.
Yep.
And I thought it was fixed. Thought I could just turn it up on its side. and it would work, and it did. Finished Last of Us, and then last night.
Oh no!
I bought a used copy of Ni No Kuni a couple days ago. Really excited, popped it in. Nothing happens.
Oh no! Oh wait, nothing isn't good or no?
As in nothing, like it won't read the disc. Like it doesn't try to read the disc. Just literally nothing happens. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. And I try other discs, Blu-rays, DVDs, CDs. Nothing works. It's all nothing. The PlayStation works fine, but it's just not reading discs. It's not even recognizing that they're there. So I go down the research rabbit hole last night. Turns out this is a fairly common problem with PlayStations, and not just the fatties. Pretty much all PlayStations. Your laser just wears out.
Really?
After a while. Yeah. You can, as I learned, go on Amazon and pay as little as $35 for a new laser. You can watch people on YouTube crack open their PS3s, and there's like step-by-step guides on how to replace the laser. But if you do that, you got to know what you're doing. Like, it looked really complicated. Basically, in every video I watched where some guy was trying to explain how to do this, they would always say, "Now it's going to feel like you're breaking it, but you just gotta grab hold here. Just really just crack it open like a clam.
Like a lobster.
Get all the good bits out.
Mm.
Get those innards.
Cheddar Bay, motherfucker.
Put some butter on it. Put some butter on your PlayStation.
Now, you may not think that you should put butter on a PlayStation, but that's what Sony doesn't want you to think. You know, that's why the PlayStation 2 had all these problems with their discs. You know, you thought you play those, you thought the blue disc was something special, but no, that was just they were butter discs, blue for butter. So the later discs, they took the butter out of them, and that's why they started to crash. Watch DVDs on them. DVDs don't got butter on them.
Open up your PlayStation, take a lobster, put it inside the PlayStation, close the PlayStation, and just turn it on.
Rice and Brony.
A lobster claw is the best Blu-ray laser ever.
I ain't seen nothing better. 1080p, more like 7 C's.
What is the C? I don't know. Just imagine a PlayStation with a lobster claw coming out. Like someone shoved a lobster in there and they didn't do it.
Did you ever have that sort of a thing as a kid where you're like, I mean, you're the oldest of your kid family, right?
Yes, yes, I am.
So you never had that problem with your brother like sticking like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your Nintendo?
No, I never had that problem. We were very respectful of each other's consoles. Even now, he's got the Xbox 360. So whenever I want to play Fez, before I bought Fez again on Steam, but we can talk about that later. Before I bought it again, I would be like, "Hey man, I know that you love your Xbox and you love it more than anything, and I would really love to just like take your Xbox, plug it into my TV, and I just love to play some Fez, man, and I'll put it right back. I'll put it right back. It's fine." No, but what about you? Did you have like sibling rivalry? No.
I had like a off and on sibling relationship, but there was never like that sort of like awful, like heart wrenching situation. Like, who put a pizza in my N64? Why would you put a pizza in the N64?
Why would you do that?
I never had. Why? I've heard horror stories, and you know, if I was young enough, I feel like I probably would have put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich inside an or a Nintendo, because like it has that lid.
Yeah, like it looks like a bread box.
Yeah, sometimes I look at my GameCube and I'm like, I'm gonna pack you full of food and take you to work today.
Actually, a GameCube lunchbox would be fucking awesome,
wouldn't it?
I would pay $50 just to like, you know, carve that thing out and throw some food in there.
Absolutely.
Oh man, people! I have a Nintendo wallet. People are responding to it left and right at the movie theater, at like clothing stores. People are like, "Oh, Nintendo! I love Nintendo." If you had a GameCube lunchbox, you would be the fucking, I don't know, talk of the town. You would be all over the place.
Yeah,
anyway,
You would. I can't. Really, people came up to you and you're like, you took your wallet out to pay for something at a movie, and they're like, "Oh, I love Nintendo too." Was there alcohol at this movie theater?
No, there wasn't. And you'd be so surprised at like the variety of places where this has happened. This happened to me at the dry cleaners. The young Asian woman behind the counter at the dry cleaners was like, "Oh, Nintendo wallet, cool!" And I'm like, "Yeah." So that's like the easiest response. Uh-huh. And then there's the people who see it, and it's an NES controller, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Do you have an NES?" And I'm like, "No, I have a Super Nintendo at the moment, but I don't have an NES." And they're like, "Well, why do you have the controller then? Why do you have the wallet?" I'm like, I think it's a cool wallet. They're like, "Well, you really shouldn't have it unless you have the system."
Really?
So that's
you're like, "Well, yeah, because the SNES controller wallet would be fucking awkward as hell." And I don't have any circle-shaped goddamn credit cards to put in it.
So true. So, yeah, man.
That's bizarre. Because I wear – are you familiar with Fangamer?
No, but Jeff has been singing the praises of Fangamer.
Oh, I adore Fangamer, and I wear their clothing on a daily basis. Like,
nice.
Everything that I wear is almost everything I wear is Fangamer. So it's a video game t-shirt. I've never had anybody ever say anything to me about my clothing. The closest I've got is I have got an E-Tank coffee mug at work, and people are like, "Oh, what is that, a Game Boy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, good enough."
Wow, I'm surprised. Then again, I put myself in situations where people would react to it. Like, someone's going to say something when I'm in the Nintendo World store. And whip out my wallet. And I feel like people around here, like, I see – where you live, do you see a lot of people with 3DSs and so on and so forth?
Oh, God, no. No, I swear it's me and, like, 8 kids under 10 years old that own 3DSs, because the only time I ever get street passes is when I go to the mall to do something and I take my 3DS with me, consciously saying, "I'm going to the mall to street pass with these 8-year-olds. And then I maybe get one, and it's like, "Hey, it's Timmy." And his avatar is all, it's like the standard basic start avatar. And it's like, "I've been liking to play the 3DS dashboard."
Does it say that? Is that an option?
No, but it's like yeah, nothing is selected. And it's like, yeah, you have no puzzle pieces. It's like, what good are you to me? Nothing, Timmy.
I like to play the AR card game. That's my jam.
That is my jam.
Oh, man. Dragon. Yeah, so especially in New York City, I mean, you get on a subway, you're going to see someone with a Vita, PSP, 3DS, I see a lot of DSs around here.
Yeah,
even
that makes
in like
sense.
IKEAs. In IKEA, we talked about my IKEA love.
Your favorite.
In IKEAs, I see 3DSs and DSs all the time from a range of people. So yeah, there's a lot. And people respond. I think people are, because there's more, but I think people are still excited when they see something.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh my God, you like the things I like," blah, 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 blah. Which is nice. It's nice to talk sometimes for a little bit.
Yeah,
I talked a lot today. Well, I'm gonna go back to my PlayStation story, and I'll give you a little taste by saying I talked a lot today with the manager of the GameStop, who's not a jerk. Okay. I went to the non-Bizarro GameStop,
right?
And I learned a few things. So anyway, yeah, I'm like, "I don't want to buy this part from Amazon. That part is called like KES, AAA, 500, HOC, 333, 555. And there's like 20 different versions of it. There's ones with 2 lasers, 1 lasers, like you can even like do this so that if you had, there's an original one that could do backwards compatibility. You could theoretically replace the laser and take away the backwards compatibility. It's just so confusing. I did not want to go down that rabbit hole, so I was just like, "Screw it, it's gone." And I heard your voice in my head, and I let it go. I took it to GameStop, and because I know that they take broken crap.
Yeah.
So I took it to GameStop, and I was like, "How much can I get for this?" And actually, because it was the 50% extra thing, 50% mm-hmm. extra trade-in thing. And then also he waived the fix-it-up fee for some
nice.
Reason. He's just like, yeah, I'll just say that it's fixed, and then later.
Yeah, you've been
I
reserving
can...
a lot of games here, and I saw you. I see you got that as Shin Megami Tensei, so you know.
So I'll just waive that. He said, like, he said they do that, and then like they say later when they're testing it out, like later on. Did you just rip one?
No, it's sorry, it's my phone.
It sounds on my end like hilarious movie farts. Can you record that and put it on a board just to have it ready for whenever?
Absolutely. I will buy that piece of hardware, the hilarious movie fart ripper, and I will make that happen.
Oh, man. So I went to him. He took it. So I got $100
wow.
for my busted 40 gig fat one. And I put it towards – they had a white Super Slim. So I put it towards the white Super Slim.
Oh,
so I got
sexy.
That. Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
So is that the top loader Super Slim or just the Slim?
Top loader Super Slim,
oh,
which
baby.
Actually, you know, you Robinson Crusoe it up a little bit. But the on the plus side, the problem that I had cannot happen again because you can just – the laser is exposed. You can just clean that sucker.
Huh.
You can just spray some air at it. You don't have to – unlike the previous two versions, if you want to try and clean your laser, you literally take your little compressed air can – and you put the nozzle on and you shove it in there and you just spray blindly and you hope that you're hitting
You hope you
it.
Don't freeze anything.
Yeah, exactly. But with this, when you open it up, the laser's right there. So you can make sure that there's no dust on it. And it's super tiny. It's about the size of my Wii U.
Okay.
Like, it's really, and it's beautiful. It's white. It's
really?
So amazing.
It's that small?
If you, so the, they're differently proportioned, but, like, if you turn the Wii U longitudinally, they're about the same length. And the Super Slim PS3 is just a little bit, like, deeper.
Mm.
And they're about the same height. It's really small.
Wow.
It's freaking awesome. It uses less power, apparently, and it makes less heat because it uses less power.
Sure.
So,
So it overheats less. That's great.
Overheats less. So I'm pretty pumped about it. And I also got a free year of PlayStation Plus for buying the white one. So
Damn.
Now my PlayStation Plus expires in summer 2015.
Shit, man.
Because it just tops up. Yeah.
That's fine. Good for you. Well done. Way to take that step to the next console, like the next iteration. Like that's the smart thing to do.
So, but I have more interesting things. So when I'm standing there doing all this with the guy, a super nice guy who's the manager there, we're just talking – we were literally talking about his pre-ordering strategy.
Okay.
And he has the best strategy ever, which is while he's checking your trade-ins, there's a TV next to him. And he looks at you and he gauges what kind of gamer you are, which he's very adept at. And then he puts on trailers for – upcoming games while he's checking your used games.
Oh, man.
So while you're standing there waiting for him to make sure all your games aren't fakes, you're watching like Nintendo trailers. And then when he asks you if you want to pre-order anything, you're like, yeah, I'll take that. But we were just shooting the shit. It turns out that they don't get any benefit from pre-orders except that they get to keep their jobs.
Yes. Yep.
And
having worked at a GameStop before, I know.
Oh, you have? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you probably also know that, or maybe you didn't because you never worked at EB, but he was telling me how he used to work at EB. They used to get commission on service.
Wow. That guy's a lifer.
He's a lifer, man. He's only 29 actually, but he's been doing it for a while. And he said that if you sold a protection plan on a console, you'd get 3-5% of that.
Hmm.
And he said that was great and people sold them like crazy. But even that's gone now with GameStop. So
yeah.
No commission whatsoever.
No, and absolutely not. No.
He was telling me that like he actually likes getting pre-orders. So what he'll do is he'll get like a whole bunch, and then he'll actually like divvy them up among his staff because he doesn't want his people to get who he likes to get fired. And,
oh yeah.
So he'll just like say, "Oh yeah, that was actually this guy," and then
so that guy sounds like a smart, good, nice man.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And a good manager, like a good leader of a team, for sure. Like, there people like that exist, I know.
So, yeah, anyone who in New Jersey, Short Hills Mall, GameStop, is the best.
That's awesome, man.
And we were talking about Xbox One and PlayStation 4 pre-orders and allotments and stuff like that. He was telling me that they completely sold out of their PS4 pre-orders super early. They had 60 for that one store, and they were gone in a couple days, and they immediately shut it down. Like, they got word quickly, like, stop. Like, we can't get you anymore. And then the Xbox One is another story. They only have, like, 30 pre-orders for that one, and they got word to stop much later.
Huh.
So, like after Sony, they for this specific store, they were like, I guess you should stop taking Xbox One now, too.
Did he ask you if you wanted to pre-order a PS4?
He said, have you? And I actually told him, honestly, that I had, but through Amazon, because you don't have to pay anything.
Was that after he told those facts to you? Because what if he's just, like, playing the game, like, feeling you out, like, oh, you got a PS3 here, so you want to hear the good things about the PS4, and, like, yeah, of course, like, way more people pick the PS4, and, like, its sales are doing way better, and, like,
yeah,
like, the Xbox One, right? That thing is, like, it's not going anywhere fast, you know what I mean? So, you thinking about maybe picking one up in the future?
It's possible. I want to see
you driving out of this lot in a new PS4 by the end of this hour.
I told him that I bought the PS4 after we talked about the Xbox One versus PS4. So I don't think that would so that would go towards your theory that
Don't trust anybody.
Don't
trust anybody.
But we were talking about the end of The Last of Us. And then he said he's a Sony fan. But then again, everyone's playing The Last of Us. Damn it, Griffin.
Don't trust him. You can't trust him, man. He's
Oh.
Dude, was he trying to get you to play The Last of Us first?
I pre-ordered it from him.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he knew, or maybe he just saw that on the screen and just said or just knew some things about The Last of Us, and then he just said those things.
Yeah, that's a thing I don't remember too well about working at GameStop, is like what the computer would say about people's accounts. And that's just because I don't think that the accounting side of it was like that embedded into the computer system at the time.
Gotcha.
But I did work for Blockbuster for a year, mm-hmm. Less than a year, and they did have, like, if you went in there, it had like your movie rental history, and then you could also like leave notes. And, like, mm-hmm. So notes would just pop up immediately flashing to the person who, like... So, for example, if somebody came in and they're like, hey, I want to rent Lost Seasons whatever to whatever. And then you talk to them for a while. I talk to them for a while and be like, this person's awesome. And then I type into the computer and be like, dude, ask them about the smoke monster because they're just getting to that at whatever. but there were other people working there that were like... You would just, the notes would be like, mount boobs. So that's the first thing, you scan their card and you're just like, oh, well, that makes sense.
That's amazing. I miss Blockbuster so much, man. So depressing.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I loved it. I mean, it was like that seedy, shitty place that you enjoyed being in
for
some reason.
Yeah.
But no, this guy, so he can, they can see what pre-orders you have that you have had in the past and what you have currently, because he asked, like, what do you have pre-ordered? And I said, I think you've got me covered, trying to like defray him to get him to stop asking me about pre-orders. But then he's like, oh, let's just take a look. And he started typing it into the
and he's like periodically or just frantically just changing the channels on the GameStop TV, like going through everything. I don't know, like, what are you N-Gage guy? You look like an N-Gage guy, right? Yeah.
I wanted an N-Gage so bad because I love Tomb Raider, and that was their first like thing on it. It was like some shitty Tomb Raider game, and I played it, and it was awful, but I was still like, if this is the future of Tomb Raider, then I must have it. But never.
I only wanted an N-Gage because I wanted to look like I was talking into a taco.
A stupid fat taco.
The worst gaming device ever.
Worse than the Xperia Play? Probably worse than the Xperia Play. Because
yeah,
that at least
yeah, probably
Google.
Worse. Yeah, that at least can play PlayStation games.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those Coke Zeros are getting on top of me.
So, yeah. So now I finally I can play my Ni No Kuni. I think that's the game I'm going to end my summer on. I just played half an hour of it before we started talking. Already completely in love.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's actually pretty crazy because Ni No Kuni killed your PS3. It also killed mine. No, so it killed my PS3. What?
It killed your PS. It was the last disc I put in my PS3 before my PS3 decided to stop reading discs. Did yours not read discs anymore, or was it some other problem?
Mine yellow lighted, like it overheated.
Okay, that's the one thing that Brian, I know him by his first name, told me that they won't accept broken PS3s that have that yellow light. I've never even seen a yellow light. It's like,
yeah,
majestic.
No, it's awful. My stepson has a PS3 as well, and his has died twice.
Yellow lights both
yeah,
times?
Yellow lights. It's overheating. So essentially it's just like it's been played for too many hours straight. You need to blow it out, get the dust cleared. Like,
yeah.
But it happens. Like, you know, you put enough miles on a vehicle, like something's gonna break it.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why Ni No Kuni killed my PS3 was because I played it for like 6 hours a day for 2 weeks straight. Like my PS3 was like the beginning of Heavyweights, and by the end, it still looked like it was in Heavyweights.
Oh my god! Wow. Yeah. No.
Ryan Reynolds in the beginning of that one movie where he was fat.
Ryan Reynolds was fat in a movie?
Yeah, it was, I forget. It was.
Do you like Ryan Reynolds? I think he has a rapey face.
Really?
Like, if he looked at me in the eyes, I'd be like, oh my god, here it comes.
But then I expect that he would, like, slap me. Like, he'd give me the rapey face.
Rapey
face. Give me the rapey face. And be like, oh no, you didn't, too dope stiffy. No, he'd give you the rapey face, but then he'd, like, sidelong slap you. And you'd just be like, whoa!
It'd be like a joke. It'd be hard, but it wouldn't be too hard.
Right.
It would be like we're buds. We're already good friends.
It'd be a slap that you feel, but it hurts more because you weren't expecting it.
Exactly. And then like the look on your face would at first be like, like, oh my god, but then it would slowly resolve into like the sweetest smile.
Right. And then you know, the tunnel vision goes away and he's sitting there like playing guitar in board shorts.
And his shirt, he's wearing like a white button down, but it's like mostly open.
Yeah.
So you get like a taste, but you want more.
Well, that's kind of Matthew McConaughey, I think.
Okay, yeah. You seen Mud? You seen Mud? That's a great movie.
No.
Matthew McConaughey. He actually acts in it.
Oh, really?
He's an actor. Did you know that?
No. I liked Contact. That was a good movie.
He was in Contact?
Yeah. Unnecessarily. Go watch that movie. The most forgettable character who has a lead role ever.
He was in Contact.
Yes.
Oh,
worst acting ever.
Oh, man. You see Adventureland? That's a good one with Ryan Reynolds.
I like Ryan Reynolds. I like him in movies. I have no problem with him.
He's a good guy. You know who really has a rapey face, though? Is the guy who starred in... Silver Linings Playbook. What's his name?
Andy Griffith.
And the Hangover movies. Pretty Boy and Rapey Face. Anyway, moving on. Actually, Brian also has a Pretty Boy face. Maybe that's why he gets so many pre-orders. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's working for him. So your son's PlayStation and yours that broke, were they fatties?
Yes, both fatties. Although his was younger than mine. Mine is an old fatty.
His is a new fatty. Yeah. Did you have the original fatty?
Yeah. Yes, I had the 60 gig. I had the 60 gig when the 60 gig came out.
Gotcha.
And it's been it died the first week I got it. Like 2 days, Tony Hawk Project 8 killed that game. Or killed my system. I had it replaced. It was fine. And then I had it replaced again earlier this year.
Man, you know, you're right. I was not, you know, you put enough miles on something, it's going to break. When my 360 red rained, it happened less than a year after I bought it. So out of warranty, but, you know, still new. And I was pretty mad about that. I bought this thing in 2007.
I know, right?
I've played it like crazy. It's been through like four moves with me where it probably sat like with like 500 pounds of weight on top of it inside some shitty box. Like, and when it died, like, I almost wanted to say a few words.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be like, you served me well. That was, I mean, I went through the stages. I went through the stages of grief. At first, I was accusing it. I was like, I said out loud, my girlfriend can attest to this. I said, I thought you were my friend. I did say that. But, you know, now it's like it's a spiritual kind of experience. You know, my new PlayStation is white, and I feel like it's the reincarnation of my old system. So I did name it. I named the system you can name the system. I named it Ghost Phoenix.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gandalf the White.
No, that would be too straightforward. Like I wanted to name
the first PS3 got killed by a Balrog in Mount whatever, and now it's only came back to be stronger, and it is exactly. PS3 the White.
The White. But oh my God, you were so right. If you think your PlayStation is going to die, you got to get PlayStation Plus, which is what you told me. I did put my saves in the cloud, put what I cared about in the cloud.
Yeah.
And then when you get your new one, you just you don't even need to swap in your old hard drive. You just re-download your shit and your saves are right there. It's amazing.
Yeah. If you can like swap your hard drive over, that's great, but it's really, really impractical.
Yeah. Extremely impractical.
Because you have to have two full ass systems going.
Sitting next to each other. Yeah. But you can – another option, which I was going to do, is just take the hard drive out because it's a laptop hard drive. Just take it out. It's easy to take out. And on the fatties, it's easy to take out. But you couldn't trade it in if you want to do that. And just put it in the new one.
Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. This is why it's so devious. When you take a hard drive out of your old PS3 and then you put it in your new PS3 – it is a mandatory reformat.
Really?
Absolutely. So, like, it's not the Xbox simplicity of, like, you unhinge it from the top and then you connect it back to the top and it's fine. No.
Oh,
if
man.
If you pull it out and you put it in a new PS3, the PS3 is like, hey, I'm different and this thing inside me is different. We need to reconcile this. So it purges it all and restarts it. The only way to get around that is if... The only way to get around that is if you take your PS3 and you connect a portable hard drive that's formatted in the fucking weirdest. It's like a PHAT67. I don't know. It's like some weird fucking crazy format. And you put all your data on there and then you unplug it. And then that hard drive essentially becomes a NERD. Like, that's like, it's like you can't start your PlayStation up again. It's like, no, 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 no. We know what you did. So then you got to take that hard drive and plug it into your next PlayStation. And then it's like, does this process that takes almost 8 days. Like, it's a Jewish holiday to fucking get your PlayStation reset up.
Oh my God.
But it's all there then. Then it's like, we're like, we're fine. We're cool. Everything's good.
You're throwing like a wrench in my worldview because before this, in my mind, like one of the greatest things about PlayStation 3 was that, and one of its like huge benefits over Xbox 360 was that you could just take that sucker out and throw it in your new PlayStation, and you know it's a laptop hard drive, so you can go buy whatever hard drive you want, and you can throw it in there. Mm-hmm. But now with this is like I don't know, man. You're making me think that Xbox did something right.
No, and, it's not that anybody did anything right or wrong over the other. It's just like Sony did good by what they did. Like, you can upgrade your hard drive for a nominal cost. However, you can't, like, the process to keeping your old saves is nigh impossible. Like, but that's just kind of that mindset of that time where it's like, well, you put the games in your system and then you play them and then you forget about them, right? Like memory cards. What? Like, you just pull the memory card out. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, that sort of very thing true. Was not a foresight. But, like, the Xbox, you know, it's like, well, you have the... It's like, well, it's totally transferable. You, like, bring your thing over to your friend's house. Whoa, Jesus. Excuse me. You bring your thing over to your friend's house. You unlatch it and you plug it in. You're like, check out my Master Chief. Let's play together.
Am I wrong in remembering that when Xbox 360 launched, there were memory cards? You could buy a memory card for
you
your
could.
Xbox?
Yeah, absolutely, you could.
When did they phase those out? When they, because at one point I remember you couldn't save your crap on your 360 to a flash drive, even though it had USB ports. And then one day it was like, now you can.
Wow, that's a great question.
And like, boy, I feel like that was when it was interesting. I was thinking about this.
I think it was a really, really weird case where it's like, if you wanted to keep your hard drive in, but if you wanted to integrate somebody else's saved data that you pulled on off of the cloud. So like, you could be like, my friend, you know, Tommy Master Chief wants to come over and play, and he pulls his Smoke Dog, you know, 55 Bong Hound 4420 off the server and puts his his profile onto my Xbox. And then he's like, well, I have more of the levels unlocked and I have the DLC, so let me put in this card so that we can play using my stuff, but we're at your house. And then you're like, fuck, why don't you just bring your whole system over?
My brother, by the way, did have an Xbox name at one point that ended in 420. So that's a fact. I was thinking about this today, in general, just how far this generation has come.
Yes.
And like at the beginning of this generation, we were still in memory card mode. And now we're like, oh yeah, you get a new PlayStation, you get a fucking 500 gigabyte hard drive with it. It's like, it's so far. And, you know, I was re-downloading all my games, going back all the way to like Pixel Junk Eden, Pixel Junk Monsters, those like first kind of different quote-unquote games that came out for PlayStation.
It's a downloadable game that's not DLC that adds on a color to my horse.
Exactly. Those were like, that was like this generation. It seems like it was generations ago.
Absolutely.
But this generation has been so goddamn long. And I really don't think, and I have no evidence to support this, I really don't think next generation is going to be as long. And I don't think it's going to be for any reason other than you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it will be long enough. Because aren't developers saying that they love having the time to like settle into the new system, and they love just reusing the engines that they have. I don't know. You think we're going to have another 10-year cycle?
I don't know if we have, but I think we will have another long cycle simply because at the price things are going to be, if the model doesn't change from what it is right now, where it's like, hey, go buy this thing. It costs nearly $600 to just get it up and playing. You can't do that every 4 years. Like,
you can't, you're
for
right.
a game system. For a phone, you're like, I spend $300 every 2 years, but it's a phone, I need it, and I can do all this other shit on it. Like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot, I know, but it's it's fine. I've been being an idiot for so many years now, it's just fine. It's fine. Don't talk to me about it.
I accept it.
Right. But for a console, you know, you're like, not necessary. Like,
yeah.
You try to go. Here's an experiment, Mr. Social Nintendo Wallet. Go out there and strike up a conversation with anybody and try and talk to them. Just give them the bullet points as to why do you get a new console? Like, I had this conversation a week or two ago with somebody where they're like, I saw that the Nintendo or that the PlayStation 4 is coming out. What's up with that? Really? Already? And I was like,
it's been 10 years, bro. Well,
this other person was like, dude, yeah, like, new consoles are coming out, and it's awesome, because PlayStation is way cheaper and better than Xbox. Like, the only, like, to the layperson, like, it's like, the layperson who is informed about games, like Call of Duty, bro, it's like, the only selling point is like, yeah, like, one is better than the other because one is better than the other, so it's time to go.
It's not, they don't think about it too deeply. As we've discussed on the show, it just taps into that need just for your new thing. It doesn't matter if the iPad 4 is no different from the iPad 3 except for the freaking attaching thing that it goes into your laptop with.
Right.
It's the 4. It's the new one. You want the new one,
right? It's the newest and greatest.
Exactly. I think another thing that consoles have to do, and this is very obvious to survive, is they have to be cheaper than computers. And you're right, if you are spending $500-$600 every 4 years, you might as well just be updating your tower.
Absolutely.
And one of the selling points of the PS4 in my eyes that I could say to someone, and hopefully they would get it, is that it's like a supercharged PC that's just for games. And if you were to go out and try and buy that PC, an equally powerful PC, you'd probably spend twice as much. So like that is – that's something that I think I can get through to someone as a selling point there. Maybe that's not a compelling selling point, but it is true that if you went out there and you tried to buy something like with 8 gigs of RAM, that with a good processor, with a good GPU, you'd probably be button up on a grand.
Yeah.
So this is like the thrifty way to get that power.
Right. And plus it's the convenience factor of like, hey, do you want to play the new games and not have to hate yourself because PCs suck?
Exactly.
Right? You have that same experience?
Yes. Do you not want to have to deal with drivers and settings and all this stuff?
BIOS, kernels, optimization.
And NVIDIA's trying to make it better, but not I don't know. Did you get your new graphics card yet?
No, I'm sitting on it. Actually,
Not yet.
I'm waiting only because
So NVIDIA's trying to get past this problem because a lot of people don't want to worry about, you know, what should your anti-aliasing settings be? What should your Bloom settings be? People don't want to worry about that. They just want to play games, which makes sense to me. I personally kind of like twiddling with those things, but for a lot of people, it's a turnoff. So when you buy your fancy NVIDIA GPU for your tower, when you download the driver, there's this new function where it will basically just do a really detailed look at your system and just pre-do everything for you.
Huh.
It's more robust than just like doing the auto detect settings that are already in games. This is like a really detailed proprietary engine that NVIDIA developed that really takes everything about your system into account, as well as your preferences. Like, do you want 60 frames per second, are you okay with 45? Are you okay with 30?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you can tell it what you want. You can tell it you want silky smooth all the way, and then you don't need to touch a damn thing. It just fixes everything on the driver level, and you just play. And I think that's great. But then again, it's another program you have to work with. It's another thing you have to open up and respond to and tell.
I want
my games to be 60 frames per second. And God forbid that program isn't working or something, then you do have to go fiddle with all the little details. And it on newer games, what am I playing recently that has, like, for example, Tomb Raider, there's settings that you don't even know what they are because they're just for that game, like the hair settings. It's like, I've never heard of Tress FX. What is that? Oh, it's just for her hair. Okay. Spaghetti Monster hair, go.
Go. And,
so, yeah, got to be cheaper than PCs, got to be easier than PCs, got to be smaller than PCs. Because even if you pay a grand for that comparable tower, it's going to be the size of a small refrigerator.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's going to take more cooling.
Exactly. More power.
Time out. Let's take a quick break here for a sec.
Let's do it.
Okay. Back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. Bye.
Bye.
So yeah, Jamie's gone right now, but he'll be back shortly, I'm sure. So I've been getting kind of into Coke Zero. I was a pretty diehard Coca-Cola person for a long time. I like that kind of, you know, heavy sugar taste that came along with the Coca-Colas. And I've been trying to slim down a bit, trying to, you know, not really that active anymore because of life and job and, you know, stuff. So, trying to reduce the calories and whatnot, and Coke Zero tastes pretty good, I think. It definitely isn't Coke, that's absolutely certain, but it's got an easier finish, you know? It is a lot more mellow than, like, a Coca-Cola is, I guess you could say. Like, you drink a Coke, and you can kind of taste it after you swallow, and you're like, ooh, Coca-Cola, like, coats my mouth, takes blood stains off concrete, marinate a steak in it. But this Coke Zero seems a lot lighter. I'm not really certain about how healthy and whatnot it is. I'm sure it's not that good for you, because of course, you know, it still has to be some mysterious freaking sugar crap and science magic in a can. But undoubtedly it's better than drinking just plain ass like cane or like processed sugar Coke. Kind of like that black can too. It's good design, sharp design. Yeah. So that's how I'm feeling about Coca-Cola at the moment. The other things I'm into, I like cheddar popcorn. Cheddar popcorn's delicious. And those Christmas tins, I always went, I don't know, white cheddar popcorn or orange cheddar popcorn. Both equally delicious. I was never a caramel corn person. Too sticky, you know? Like, I felt like if cheddar popcorn or caramel popcorn is a kind of a food you want to soak in, like, milk. Like, it's like a sugar smack sort of a thing. Cheddar popcorn, though, like, that's some cheesy fucking deliciousness, you know? I can't even think of, like, what was in those other containers. Like, there's usually a triple partition. You got the cheddar. Is it just, like, orange cheddar, white cheddar, and then caramel? That can't be, because maybe it's regular. Like, regular ass. Well, then, maybe it was kettle corn. Kettle corn. Now that's a different story. Kettle corn is pretty good. You know, it's kind of has that like carcinogenic charred over an open fire kind of flavor to it. A little bit of salt and sugar to give it, you know, set it off, that savory sweet sort of a feel. Extra deadly, extra delicious though. But like, in that kind of state fair mini donut sort of thing where it's like, I only want to do this to myself once or twice a year, and then I want to pretend like it never happened because I feel awful right now. Kind of like going to a movie or, you know, whatever. You're like, oh, you know, it seems like a good idea getting this box of candy, these Raisinets, because they aren't awful. Like, they're raisins. That there has to be some, it's chocolate raisins. There has to be some nutrition. Well, let's even go further. Like, you're like, ah, some Peachos, you know, and you end up getting super sick after, or Swedish fish. Oh man, Swedish fish. Like the most subtly delicious of all candies. And you eat that entire box of them afterwards, not feeling so hot. Because those Swedish fish, no nutritional value. I don't care how many horse hooves you put in there. Not a good idea, because that is instant diabetes.
What's
up? Raisinette. Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey, are you talking about instant diabetes?
Yeah, I just got back sitting here, so I was talking.
Is it recording?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Coke Zero will probably give you instant diabetes.
Oh, were you listening to me the entire time?
No. I just got back, and the only thing I heard you say was instant diabetes.
Oh, that's crazy, because I started the whole thing off talking about how I'm really liking Coke Zero.
Let me tell you something about I'm going to put the med school hat on and tell you something real quick about that kind of shit. So when you drink low-calorie stuff with sugar substitutes in it, you end up hurting yourself and making yourself fatter, because you trick your body into thinking that it needs more real sugar, to make a long story short. So you're getting that sweetness, right? And you're not getting any calories, but you're changing your whole physiology around, and now your brain is wired to need more sugar than you needed before. Because your body wants to make up for the fact that you've been tricked, that you thought you were getting that glucose, and now you don't have any. So in the long run, it's not the best thing.
Huh. Well, that's fascinating. I hope that anybody who started listening 4 minutes ago listened this far because, fuck, I got to throw out this entire case of Coke Zero I got today.
No, don't throw out the case. Just there are people, there are patients who I've seen who drink like 6 or 7 diet sodas a day. Those are the people who have something to think about. That's bad. Not only in terms of diabetes and things down the line, but like if you're drinking that much diet soda and diet soda has a really low pH, that you're just wearing away your teeth. And these patients come in and they like their teeth are all jacked up, snaggletooth weirdness. And so you don't want that either. So So yeah, cut it down if you're drinking.
Well, that's
too
great.
Much. Yeah, back to games.
Staring at this. I've got 3 Coke Zeros sitting right here, ready for me to drink for the rest of this time. And I'm like, no, I don't want you anymore.
just have 1 or 2.
But yeah, I'm at 1.5 right now.
Okay, so finish it off. Enjoy it. You know, moderation makes everything better.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, only a little bit of AIDS will do you fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I remember about college. So we were talking about we've been talking about transitioning into this new console cycle for as long as I've been talking to you guys.
Yeah.
You and Jeff.
Because that's like what's on our brain.
Because that's all there is to talk about right now, honestly. Like, what games are out? Nothing, right? What are you playing? Fucking Ni No Kuni. Good choice.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Great game. And that's a great game.
Yeah, that is a great game. To be honest, just to say it real quick, I think this week the only thing I did was I played my girlfriend and I finished Machinarium, great puzzle game if you're into that. Free on PlayStation Plus. What else? Played a little bit more Donkey Kong Country Returns 3DS, also great in my opinion. Jeff thinks it's a little wonky, a little loose. I disagree. I think it's fantastic. We've already talked about that. And I think that's it. Yeah. It's like nothing.
SMT?
Oh,
more SMT?
What? Oh, no more. Yeah, just haven't touched that for some reason. I not like anything in particular. Just wasn't feeling it. I got reamed in the Steam sale. Bought a bunch of shit I haven't touched yet, like Civ 5.
Yeah.
Got all the Civ 5 for all the expansions, all the everything for $12.50.
Yeah, I did that last Steam sale.
Insane. Tell me about the cards you bought.
Oh, shit. It's not that bad. Like, so it's not that bad.
If you start the conversation with that, then it is that bad.
No, because, okay, Steam cards are fascinating because, like I've said before, it's like this, like, microeconomic cosm of fascinating nonsense where it's like they surface a sales chart of the things that sell. Like, anything that you get in your Steam inventory, you can resell. And if you click on it, you can click sell, and it'll give you like a graph that's like, how has this been selling in the last year?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's like Steam cards, like the day the Steam card comes out, they sell for like $1.20. And then they drop off immensely to like a tenth of the value. So everything kind of bottoms out. But now that the Steam sale is over, they're starting to edge back up a little bit again. But then there's also these foil cards that are super rare that are, like, resting at $30 even. So I ended up buying 2 cards because after the Steam sale was in its, like, last final push, I was like, oh, I'm not going to get any more cards because I'm not going to buy anything else this last day. I got Monaco for Jeff, and that kind of boosted me up over this thing. Like, I got some crap out of it.
You got Monaco for Jeff? What?
Yeah.
You bought him a game?
Yeah, he asked me to get it for him.
Oh, like he's away.
Yeah.
How much was it on sale?
I think it was like 7.5 or something.
Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad.
But I got some crap out of it, and I was like, well, I'm 2 cards away from having a full set of Steam Summer cards. So I was like, I may as well figure out how this crafting stuff goes. So I went and I like put $5 in my Steam wallet and bought 2 cards for like 12 cents a piece. So now you win, Steam. You've got $4.80 of mine just sitting there that I can't touch.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so I put those cards together. They formed this little like you know, now our powers combined and we are this new icon. And you get some crap out of it that I literally have no idea how to use. Like, they're emoticons. I don't know how the fuck, or backgrounds. So like, what? Like, there's no option for, like, use this as my background. Or if I go into, like, my Steam profile, if there's nothing that's like, I want to change my background to be this. So yeah, I don't really, like, know what good those are.
There's no way to, like, organize your, it, like, your Steam library, like, in the window. You click on library, and then it's like, your games. And you can't, like, put them in folders or anything. Even on the PlayStation 3, you can like, arrange it in folders. Yeah, you can have it by, like, recently played, whatever. There's none of that on Steam, which is fascinating to me. But I was going to say that it's interesting that, like, we cheered when companies started to do away with, like, you know, forcing you to buy game money in chunks, so then the money would just sit there and not be used. Like, you wanted a $5 game, but Nintendo would only let you buy a $10 chunk.
Sure.
So then you, and now it seems like it's like weirdly we're back there with these Steam cards. You've just got money sitting there.
Well, I think Steam's a separate, like, you know, any other. This is where it gets kind of hairy, because I think that most cons, like PlayStation, Xbox, Steam, all those things, like, if you want to make a purchase, there is a minimum amount of money purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I want to buy something for $3, it's like, okay, we're going to charge your wallet for $5, your thing, your credit card for $5, and now you've got $2 left over on your wallet.
They do that on Steam?
That's what happens. Like, on Steam,
oh, really?
Like, I was like, I want to buy this imaginary item. And they're like, well, technically, we can't bill you straight for this imaginary item. So you have to put $5 into your Steam wallet and then withdraw from there. Just like on PlayStation Network, where it's like, oh, you want to buy this avatar icon for $1.22?
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm like, yes, I really want this picture of Ken. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to have to bill you $5 or $3 or whatever for. And then you have this leftover in your account.
Weird.
But we've totally just gotten weird. So far away from, like, that like microtransaction that costs that little. Like, you know, like when the Xbox 360 first came out, it's like, oh, do you want these new maps for, like, I don't know, 320 Microsoft points? And you're like, sure. How do I get that? And like, well, you gotta buy 500. Is that okay? And you're like, okay, whatever. 800.
How much is 500 Microsoft points? It's $73.47.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? You understand that.
It's $8. Like, okay.
Are they still doing Microsoft points?
On the current gen. Yeah.
Are they going to do it next gen? Do we know?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think... Another unrelated question. I was wondering about this today. Do you think that so we've seen the interface for Xbox One, not that different from Xbox 360. Have we seen the interface for PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
And if we have,
we've seen more of it, actually.
Is it similar? Is it like the same thing?
There's blue.
Blue was an option.
I'm not putting any stock in anything that has been showed, like, in the January PlayStation event or in the Xbox One event that happened recently, where they're like, this is the new dashboard. Like, I don't, you know, that may as well have just been, you know, people animating a cardboard flipbook. Like, I don't believe it at all. Until it comes out and I see it in front of me, then yeah, fine, whatever. But what has been shown, like, it looks just like a new iteration of the current, like, the current console sort of front end. And like, there's an Xbox 360 beta you can get into to, actually probably can't get into it anymore, but, like, to try out the new user interface that's supposed to kind of be in parity with the Xbox One.
Okay, gotcha.
The new Xbox experience?
Yeah, I don't think we are we're going to see much difference on the PlayStation 4 end, because people don't realize that, like, in terms of the XMB, Sony is in deep. If you buy a Sony Blu-ray player, which my parents have, like a new one, brand new one, you get an XMB.
What?
That's what's there. Yeah. If you buy a Sony, like anything for your TV, it's there, and that's how you navigate through things. They love it.
Huh.
So I don't think that's going away anytime soon. It's even laid out in terms of what's on the XMB extremely similarly to the PlayStation. So, like, your system's on the left and blah, blah, blah. You want to, like, your internet stuff is on the right and music is in between. Love that thing, and I don't think it's terrible.
Sure, I was going to say since you've used both consoles, like, do you think the XMB, like, do you like it, or have you just always been at odds with it?
I do like it. I constantly wish with these things for something I will never get, which is customization. They have no reason to offer customization. This is not an Android device. Like, they want to control the user experience as much as they can. And I suppose, and from a business standpoint, I can maybe understand that perspective. But I wish that I could, like, you know, choose not to have an XMB, or choose to have, like, my most frequently downloaded games just, like, right there when I start up. I guess they are, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you? You like it?
I've always liked the XMB. Always. But I'm I'm ready for something new. But, not new because I'm like, oh, the XMB has never been good. It's like, I like it. It's serviceable. Like, it's really like meat and potatoes, you know. It's like the hot rod thing where you're like, oh yeah, just, you know, you open the hood up and you get in there and you know what to look for,
exactly.
Like, well those foreign cars, they're run by computers, and that's you know, you feel like you look at an XMB and you're like, it's simple, it's basic, you move left and right,
yeah.
It has drop down crap. I've been dealing with it long enough that it makes sense. Like, you stay away from everything on the left, you only go to the right. It's fine.
Look, a few things are weird. Like, if you want to figure out when your PlayStation Plus account expires, you got to go to, like, account management. And those two steps
don't
are like
– going to the account settings. That's a jungle. Well,
those two steps are fine. And then after that, it's like transfer orders. And I'm like, okay. And then you click on that and it's like account subscriptions with an S. And then I'm like, okay. And then it brings up a bunch of stuff that I did not know was a quote-unquote subscription, like games that I have. And then, like, in and amongst the jungle of random shit that is a subscription, like a game here, an old band song
there. Sure, yeah. It's like PSP version of Ape Escape demo. And you're like, what? I have a subscription to this?
Monster sold my princess for PSP. Okay, so you go through that, and then you find your PlayStation Plus. You click on it. So, I don't know. Within the XMB, there could be a lot of streamlining that could benefit the players. But, yeah, pretty good. And I don't even – it's funny how, talking about going through this generation, think back to the original Xbox 360 thing, and that changed by leaps and bounds. I mean,
absolutely.
We have a completely new interface there. And XMB hasn't changed much, has it?
Not a ton. I mean, yeah. I think the new PlayStation Store sucks a ton of balls.
Oh, really? You don't like it?
I hate the new store.
I'm gonna disagree. I like it better than. I'm not gonna say it's good. I like it better than the old one.
Really?
And I think that's only because it's prettier. I think that's literally the only reason.
It's tablet-tier.
Yeah, right?
Where it's like, hey, I'm going to have a bunch of negative space and things that you would want to touch.
Exactly. But we're all playing on TVs, so that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's equally difficult to find things on either.
Yeah.
Just because the old one, at least for me, I've actually talked to Jeff about this, and he has different experiences with it. The old one for me was a little more unresponsive,
huh.
And this one is just a tad more responsive.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Everyone says the opposite, and every time I go on, I ask myself these questions, and I honestly think that for some reason this is how I feel. I don't know.
Huh.
If you just search for something though,
I've never searched for anything.
Just like you, just using the search function.
Hell
just like
no.
The straight, no. Just
why
if
would
you
I
just
do?
Search. Wait. Are you being sarcastic? I can't.
No,
tell because,
like. I've never searched for anything. Like the old XMB navigation was like, well, I need this. I click on this tab, then this pops out. I go to this that's alphabetized. I click on this one, S through R through S through T to Z, go here, and then I get this game that I've been looking for. Fine. Makes sense.
Oh man.
But
I
the new
that.
One, you know, it's like it's slow as fuck.
It's really slow. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. Are they thinking that did they design this for the PS4?
No.
Okay.
Then they designed it to kind of be, you know, in that, like, tablet space, like, that, like, everything's really bubbly, and it uses a lot of, like,
sounds.
Floating text, and everything's there on the surface, and all you gotta do is swipe from side to side, and it's all available, except it was essentially, the way I view it is, a response to the Microsoft, you know, most recent update to their system.
That is an astute observation. Now that I think about it, they even kind of feel similar and they look similar.
Yeah.
The new search function, though, if you ever use it, is better than the search function that they had previously because it does that thing where, like, if you start typing something, it'll limit the amount of characters you can use if there's nothing that will have. So, like, if you start typing in Uncharted, by the time you get to R, you can basically choose, like, R, and that's it.
Huh.
And then it'll already show you on the right side of the screen all the Uncharted shit. So that's – I was actually looking today because I just wanted to see how much Uncharted 2 is. You can't buy it. You got to buy that stupid pack, and then it's $40 or something. But so the search is better in my opinion. It does take a fucking – it takes minutes sometimes to open the store.
Yeah.
It just sits there. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know what it's saying. One of the other stupid reasons why I liked the old XMB store, like the old PlayStation Network store, was because you'd go in there and you're like, hey, check this out. And you like you go up, like you put in this secret code and you're like, look, now it's movies.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like it was like a fucking text adventure. Like you like alt tabbed around the screen until you get to this button and you click on it and then it's like, what? You could rent stuff?
Oh my god!
I can watch Spider-Man 3.
My 40-gig PlayStation 3 came with Spider-Man 3 on Blu-ray. It was just fucking awful. It was like a slap in the face.
Oh.
The only movie I ever rented on PS3, way back probably around 2007, was X versus Sever Ballistic, which is widely considered widely considered to be one of the worst movies of all time, and. And the streaming back then was awful. I had broadband and everything, and it was just chugging, pausing all the time, buffering for minutes at a time. It was awful.
Oh yeah, those old PlayStations, like mine, suffers from that to this day. Like that wireless device in there is a hunk of hot shit.
Yeah. Oh my god, I wanted to tell you this. I've been using a proxy server on my computer to turn my computer into a giant network card for my PS3. Did I tell you about that?
No, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's free. It's a free program called Privoxy. It's pretty simple to use, although you have to fiddle with it a little bit. So anyone who's interested, Privoxy, just find it. It works.
Okay.
Basically turns your tower into a giant network card for your PS3. You can... when you do the network settings on your PS3, it'll tell you how fast it's working. So I literally doubled my speeds on my fatty.
Uh-huh.
It really made a difference. But when I got my new white one today, I just set it up and I didn't even turn my tower on. And in order for Privoxy to work as a network card for my PlayStation, my tower needs to be on. But I was just like, fuck it, I'll just set this thing up without it for now.
Right.
So I go on, I set up the network. And when I do the test, it tells me that the speeds that I'm getting are even better than the speeds I was getting previously.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. It's got to just be the router, like just yeah. the modem thingy in there that just says, yeah. sucks, bunch of dicks.
I downloaded all my games, everything yeah. In like a matter of hours. And I'm talking like gigabytes upon gigabytes of shit. Yeah. I just put it in the queue. I think I had at least, I think I had like 60 items in there, and it just... It was done in a matter of hours. It was amazing. Right.
So that's actually a great segue because I just bought a new router for the house. I was like, we were suffering from these problems. You know, we've talked about this before. It's like, oh, Griff's internet sucks. And I've always believed my internet sucks. so I looked up some reviews on the router that we had there. Like, oh, this is just some piece of crap, like Wi-Fi thing that was kind of like came with the house sort of a thing. So I looked it up. It's like $3 on Amazon, and like like, "Oh, this is a hot piece of street trash. Like, you would be better off setting this on fire than running internet through it." And then one person is like, "It's all right for $3. It's great." And I'm like, "Well, you're probably right. Like, no, that's not a okay." So I was like, "It's time to buy a new router because our internet sucks." And I got this router. It's like a Cisco E1500. And it's I think it's like an $80 or $90 device. And we got it for like $30 on Amazon.
Dual N band or something.
No N band. Just like speed boost plus wax board modem. And I'm like, all right, you're fine with that. Like set it up. We've doubled our speeds across the board here now.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just by buying a new router, we've doubled our down and up here.
Holy shit.
Freaking great. Awesome. Yeah. It feels really nice. However, when I plugged my PlayStation 3 in, and I didn't plug it in, like I just set it up and I'm like, okay, here we go. You ready? You ready, little guy? And I set it up and I'm like, time to type in the new information. And it's like running test. And now it's like, it just keeps sending me this failure thing that's like connect to media server.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell this is. So I just disable it. I'm like, media server, like what? Like, I'm not running a home theater. I don't need you. Disable it.
Do you have a PC tower on the network? Any PC, anything?
We do, yeah.
So that's probably something that would have happened before with your shitty router, and it's like almost an indication of the goodness of your new router.
Yeah. Where it can actually detect it.
But now, it's just not working. Yeah, mine says that too. Like, I have my tower set up to be a media server. So if you do that, if you get into your PC and you open up, you can literally do it through Windows Media Player on your PC. Mm-hmm. You say like set up media sharing or whatever. If you set that up, it'll be fine and you won't get that message anymore.
Sure.
But
I just disabled that thing. Like, I'm like, fuck you, I'm done with this. But then it goes to the full setup and it's like testing your speeds. And now my PlayStation 3, which is literally as close to the router as you possibly can get, is getting a tenth of what everything else in the house gets. One tenth. Like,
oh, man.
Shit here is going at 20 plus megs a second now. And then my PlayStation is like 1.9, 3, 2.2. Okay, that's all I got. Okay.
Two things. Let it go. No, I'm joking. But also, if it's that close to the router, just plug an Ethernet cable in there.
Yeah, that's going to be what it is.
Yeah. That'll solve your problem right there.
I just don't want to sabotage everything else in the house. Like, you know.
Make that the priority?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't want to direct the modem's priority towards my PS3 because it's like, when am I using the online features of it? Oh, never.
You don't use PS3 for, like, Netflix or anything
I do. Yeah, I rented this last night when I was watching Doctor Who on Amazon Prime, and it was like, it just died mid-episode. It was like, can't do this anymore, buddy. Like, what?
Sorry. Gotta go.
This has never been a problem before. So,
where are you in Doctor Who?
I've just watched the 7.1 season, like the Angels in Manhattan. Angels Take Manhattan or something.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've got opinions. We can talk about those when you're a little more.
I won't be because... when are they going to come out on Amazon or Netflix? So,
Just do you steal things?
No.
Yeah, oh, I just steal things.
Speaking of stealing things, though, I've been watching some Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Said you were going cold turkey, no anime.
I was watching it on YouTube, and this is only because I saw Pacific Rim last week.
I saw Pacific Rim.
Let's talk about Pacific Rim.
Let's do that. Robots.
I love that movie.
You do?
Yes. It's so good.
I want it to be different than what it was. If I went back and watched it again, I think I would have a great time. But they were laying the groundwork for things that they never really followed through on. Like when they were like, we're going to look into the brains of the beasts. I was like, oh my God, we're going to see their world and know their motivations, and they're not going to want to fight. There's something's wrong there. Because they're humans or something. They're like they've got humanity, but then no, just killing aliens, just beating them up. You still there?
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. Okay. I'm like, dude.
But the everything else, like the art, the robots, the fight scenes were great. I thought another thing that they didn't follow through on, in my opinion, was I wanted the girl to be more badass. She had that one scene where she was like kicking ass with the bow staff, taking names, and I'm like, all right, she's not going to need to be saved in this movie. Totally does, and she's useless. It's just that sexy guy. He's like, he's it.
Raleigh.
He's like, he's the salvation.
I've got a scarred body and a troubled past to match.
Exactly. If I had, if you,
my robot's name is Gypsy Danger. What the fuck does that mean?
I saw it in IMAX. That was the way to go.
Wrong decision.
Wrong decision.
I can't watch movies in IMAX.
Just like too much.
Yeah, they make me vom.
I thought it was good just for this one because it was like, you know, it's what it's all about.
I wanted to see the action. If anything, I would have maybe seen this in 3D and sat towards the back. But no, I saw it regular ass movie style. It was good. Yeah.
I did IMAX 3D. So there was a lot of in a brand new movie theater. So the
you
sound
were
like was
looking
like,
you were drifting with the aliens there.
Exactly. Yeah. The sound was like cringeworthily, like it was too loud. Like my chest was rattling. It was insane. Also, there was like this girl behind me who just kept kicking my seat every time anything happened.
Yeah.
Ugh. But yeah. So tell me why I'm wrong, and it's amazing.
Well, I mean, it's totally valid. Like, if you look at this movie saying like it should have been better, they should have fleshed out more of the world, and they should have spent more time, you know, with the characters and their motivations, and but it's like. Dude, it was a two-hour movie, which was a lot to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, that movie kind of went a little long at some points.
Mm-hmm.
But I really loved it because of how indirectly referential it was to all of my favorite anime and giant robot crap from my youth. Like,
oh, yes.
Like, nothing was like, hey, check this out. It's a Gundam. But, like... It's like that's the Chinese robot, and it's got three arms, and it just did like a thing. It did like a flip in the air, and oh, dude, the fucking arm has an afterburner on it. He punched a button,
cool.
And then it had a rocket on the back of its elbow.
And there's swords. They have giant robot swords.
Right, like, oh, yeah, they forgot about the sword for a while.
Yeah, and then remember, we have it.
We have the sword.
They definitely have that like Power Rangers like problem where you wait until the end to actually combine all your little Zords into the big Zord, and you could have just taken care of it earlier. But yeah, if I think about it in terms of what you just said, it's on the money.
I think it is a delightful spectacle, and it makes me love everything that I liked about big robot stuff from being younger, where it's like everything is a character, everything is a caricature, you know, nobody has any depth, motivation is surface level at best, but you know what? Everything just looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, and you can read into it what you want. Like, if you want to think about those characters, then you can think about them. You can make them into what you want. Like, I think they almost write it that way on purpose. Like, sure. you can invest whatever sort of sentiments you want into those blank slates, those husks. You can do whatever you want with them, and that actually makes things great, because then people write fan fiction and make it their own.
Well, see, I was going the exact opposite side of, like, everybody is so completely blank. This movie is an homage to an 80s/early 90s, you know, television kids show that is just geared to sell action figures. Where I'm like, want the Russian guys. I want the look at that big fucking stupid robot with the big, like, mallet head, and they've got blonde beards and hairs. Like, I want that group.
I want him. I'm going to type into the internet toys right now. What's the movie called again?
Pacific Rim Job.
Pacific Rim Job toys. Yeah, I would buy toys in an instant. The I love how they
Even
had
the
like
comms
basically
officer. Like, I just loved Guillermo del Toro's like attention to detail with every single little thing. Like the comms dude who's like, I've got a pompadour and a leather jacket, but I have a rosary that I have tied around my hand, but then I've got neck tats. And you're like, this man obviously has a story that he wants to tell, but
yes,
I will.
Exactly.
And his suit is really crisp, but just look at him. Like, you're like, this guy is destined to be an action figure, but I don't want those action figures. Like, I don't want a Raleigh action figure. I don't want like the two British father and son action figures. Like, I'm just like, you know what? Gundam was good. I'm glad that I really like Gundam. Like, Evangelion was stupid as fuck, but I'm glad I liked it. Like, it just made me think back to be like, stuff was freaking awesome. And so was Godzilla.
Exactly. And this combines all of those things. I'm disappointed by the toys, I must tell you. They have like 6 and 7 inches, and I don't want that. I want like 12 inches of Gypsy Danger Beauty.
I want a fucking 20-inch fucking figurine in my house.
I loved how they had like the Russian ones, the one with the bell on its head. That was like the antique one. They're like, oh, it's old. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Right.
And I'm like, in the story, you've said that these things are all basically the same age.
Right. Or ours isn't digital. It's analog. Nuclear powered.
Nuclear powered analog. That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, Jesus.
That's amazing.
First rule,
how many kids
don't touch me. Second rule, don't touch me.
How many kids in science class are gonna tell their teachers, but I thought the nuclear panel was analog.
Nobody even knows what analog and digital means. It doesn't even matter.
That's true.
My stepson so looks at the clock and he's like, what time is it? And I'm like, dude. He's like, well, yeah, it doesn't have numbers. I'm like, well, fair point, but it's the world we live in.
They only have like 3 toys. They've got Gypsy Danger, the red one. What's its name? And and then one of the
something Typhoon.
Let's see, Crimson Typhoon.
Crimson
These
Typhoon.
Names are incredible.
Yeah.
And then
that's a good one.
And then they've got the Knife Head Kaiju.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it was really well cast. The guy from It's Always Sunny, he was hilarious.
Charlie Day as the manic scientist was a good choice, yeah.
Good choice.
That guy from Torchwood.
Yes,
as
exactly.
As the other scientist. Hamming it the fuck up.
Yeah. Main character's fine. Girl was pretty cool.
Yeah, Rinko something something something. She was in some good movies.
I liked how they didn't, for such a large movie, they didn't really over-sexualize her, which I like. And And there was no fan service. Even when she was like stripping down and fighting with the bow staff, she had on like a not revealing tank top, and I like that. I appreciate that. That takes balls these days to not do that.
Absolutely.
So kudos to those guys for doing that. Yeah, so
I loved Ron Perlman's dumbass character that just accidentally stumbled on set.
Yes.
Just like, I don't know, like I got welding glasses and gold boots. I'm pissed.
And then he gets eaten. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was that set was really cool. The Bone City or whatever it was called was really sweet.
Yes.
It just, so that whole thing has brought me around into this like potentially looming dark hole of maybe I should go watch some more anime.
Oh, please do.
Which
please.
Has started with me watching some Evangelion on YouTube.
Attack on Titan. You have to watch it and report back.
What is Attack on Titan?
That's what people are talking about these days.
I don't know how I feel about these days. You're going to have to convince me pretty hardcore to watch something from these days.
It looks like Ava, but it's just like really big dudes with no skin.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So I don't know. I so many people are talking
about
it.
Wait. I think I've read something about this. Yeah.
So many people are talking about it, even on video game blogs, that I think I'm just going to watch the first episode just to see
sure
what is going on. And you know, it's interesting. Anime kind of comes in and out, but I'm surprised that it has really never left, because I thought that when we were in our teens, I thought it kind of hit an apex in terms sure of popularity. And then it kind of went away, and I was like, I guess it's gone. But it fucking held on.
Well,
and,
wait. What do you mean? Like when we were in our teens,
like when we were in our teens, and we would go to Suncoast and pay money
for
the VHS tapes and the DVDs of these shows, and then all of a sudden Suncoast was gone, and all the places where you could buy it were gone, and then no one is talking about Naruto anymore, and then it kind of comes back, and people are talking about different things, like. I don't know. I feel like it's
interesting because I thought that the Naruto, One Piece, Shonen Jump, Invading America was kind of like this, like new resurgence of anime. Like I thought that like when we were watching it in middle school, like and we're going to Suncoast and shit, buying Trigun and crap. Like mm-hmm. I thought that was like. I was late to the game. Like I was like, oh man, this is like some ancient technology that I'm unearthing. It's like, dude, this is weird. Like people have probably known about this for decades, but like, check this out. And then it was like, okay, now we have this backlog to work through over the next couple of years. Like, okay, there's all this Gundam Wing shit and like all this stuff's just on TV for the first time ever. And not because like it's being made new, but like, it's like, no, the world has known about this for ages. It's just now we're getting it for the first time in like the main pop culture and in America. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was like, wait, so there's all this stuff I got to go check out from the past. And then it was like, it kind of hit this new stride of like, all right, now there's the Narutos and there's the Gurren Lagans. And I don't know what other things our kids into right now.
Yeah, I now that I think about it,
new
I think
type
you're right.
Magazine.
New Type. I had New Type.
I did too.
I don't think it's gonna go. And I'm pretty happy about that because sometimes it's really weird and pleasant and like a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And I like that. And it seems that a lot of the things that spoke to us just continue to speak to people. Like Pokemon's never going away, ever. Ever. We're gonna have new Pokemon games 25 years from now.
Oh hell yeah.
And they're going to be very similar to the ones that we currently have. And I don't care. Like, that's fine.
8 gyms until I die.
I'm pretty happy about that. I don't know if we're going to – I don't know if the Japanese connection in terms of games is going to continue to dwindle and die or if we're going to get another resurgence similar to the anime stuff. Or I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be – If anything, you know, we're in a bit of a nadir right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
There is still totally awesome things coming out, but it's no longer just like anime in like, you know, the late 90s where you're like, dude, this is awesome secret shit. Like, go watch this. Like, nobody has seen this before. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what video games were about too for a while. Where you're like, you know, prior to Final Fantasy VII, you know, it's like, oh man, like there are other RPGs out there. Like you're like, Suikoden is an amazing franchise.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, you just weren't playing it because there was these other things. So I think that right now we're kind of in the opposite kind of vein of that, where it's like, well, Japan has kind of blown their load. They anything that comes out of there right now is either really tiny and really weird, or else mm-hmm. it's big enough to bubble to the surface and be picked off by those people that love that kind of like crazy Japanese stuff, but it doesn't have that kind of mysticism and fantasticism, like that sort
of
like,
I know what you're trying to say.
That magical air that like those late 90s things did, where it's like this is from Japan and nobody's doing something like this over here. Like, look at these FMV or look at these cutscenes. Like, look at these CG. Look at that guy's scar.
Like, he's got a white streak of hair amongst his other hairs.
It's so spiky. Like that sort of stuff, I think, is kind of gone. And I think that it's going to have to keep going away further and further until it can come back again and be readopted. Be like, oh, you know what people in Japan are doing?
Mm-hmm.
Just the rapiest rape games ever. And maybe that's... I mean, nope, not gonna say.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not really looking. The weirdest thing to me is that the companies that when we were growing up were like delivering the best stuff are now husks of their former selves, and they're just like, they're not even. People don't cite them when they talk about things that inspire them. Mm. Like Capcom is nothing. Capcom is like a money making. I don't know. Thing now that they just churn out more and more Street Fighter 4 iterations, which is fine.
Capcom is just dilapidated. It's just decapitated. Like it's a zombie. It is a you're right. It's a husk of its former self. It's just going through the motions. Like it's like more Mega Man, more Resident Evil. It's just repeating the same motions, making them bigger and more grandiose. But like it doesn't have that spark of brilliance like they used to.
I think that what happened. I mean. Obviously, I have no idea what happened, and I have no authority to speak about what could possibly have led to this, but I feel like companies like Namco, right? Namco used to like break new ground, and then they got complacent, and now they release their titled Dynasty Warriors game, and then there's the six non-titled ones that follow it, which are the same every time.
Right.
Like first there's the one where there's more Chinese people, and then there's the one where they're in space, and then there's the Gundam one, and then there's another one, and then it gets back to a numbered one. And I feel like companies like Namco changed from trying to push new stuff out to just they wanted – reliable, sustainable income.
Sure.
And I think that set a precedent, and now these other companies like Capcom are doing the same thing. And I don't know if maybe it's not a Japanese problem. Maybe that's an everything problem.
I think you're right. I think it's an everything problem. Like, everybody suffers from it, but everybody deals with it differently. Like, you know, Activision Blizzard, they have a stable, steady revenue stream in the form of, you know, World of Warcraft. You know, Diablo, Call of Duty, they have these staples that let them make risks with investing in something like Skylanders, and Skylanders being fucking awesome, and then them, you know, potentially driving it into the ground while they're trying to turn that into another big, you know, cash cow that you know, continually pushes out stuff so that they can fund cool little things again. Mm-hmm. It's just... You know, every company, you know, it's who's the perfect case? 2K. 2K is the perfect case for this, where it's like they have their GTA. They have Grand Theft Auto coming out this year. It's going to, you know, just absolutely kill it again. It gets a lot more praise than it deserves, and it gets, you know, people buy it more than it probably is deserved.
Yeah,
so,
does not look interesting.
It's a great thing because then it allows 2K to make things like, you know,
BioShock
or XCOM.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic games out there.
Yeah, I just hope that, like, I mean, we've talked about this before, but they have to stop putting their eggs in one basket and then assume that they'll get return on something for 5-10 years. Like EA, we've talked about this before, has said that with Watch Dogs, this is a 10-year thing.
Ubisoft, and, you mean?
Ubisoft, you're right. And this is a 10-year thing, and there's going to be an iteration every year or so. And the problem is that you haven't even released the first one yet.
Yeah.
So you don't even know that people are going to buy it. How can you be planning 10 years of content when the first one isn't even out the door yet? you know, maybe spend a little bit less on the first one, see if people like it, and then decide to rejigger your entire company around this one franchise.
Yeah.
Craziness.
I would just, you know, okay, I blame marketing, but that's how I always blame. I think marketing is a really easy thing to blame.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you can sell a game, but, you know, or you can make a game, but you're going to be spending so much time marketing that game. But I don't know. I'll end up sticking my foot in my mouth if I talk too much about this, because I don't know enough.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. I feel like...
I'm sure marketing is important. I just... It's the most dispensable thing in my mind.
Exactly. But it's the thing that ends up making, as we've talked about, a 3.4 million selling game like Tomb Raider a failure. Because you market it too much, and then all of a sudden nothing's working out. Although we are getting a sequel for Tomb Raider. Super happy to hear.
Really?
Yeah, it was announced a couple days ago in a really sneaky way. No official word from Square, but what they are doing is there's going to be a comic, which is going to last like for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the comic is going to take this – it's going to end where the first game ended, and it's going to go to the beginning of the second game. And we found that out because the guy who's making the comic talked when he probably shouldn't have. So
interesting.
So at least you know, they're following up with that. I think that, I mean, you're right that your reasoning not to play it is completely valid, because everything you say is true. They are so guilty of what you claim they are. But I hope maybe in the next game they dial that down a little bit.
Oh yeah, I want to play it. Like, you don't know how difficult it is for me to stand by my morals and be like, no, I'm not going to. I'm like, maybe if I just get it used or something, like, then I can stick it to them. But, like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play it.
It's interesting, though, because I think, personally, if you got it used, you would be okay. There's a big push by the LGBT community to not see the movie Ender's Game. And the reason is
because of Orson Scott Card's insanity.
Yeah. A huge, very outspoken gay geek group. I forget what their name is, but they're pretty popular.
Okay.
Has launched this huge campaign. They're getting a ton of publicity. I heard about it because they were interviewed on NPR, and also they were on BBC News. So they're getting the word out. And their whole thing is that it's all about the money. They think that it's a great book. They think it's going to probably be a great movie. But they don't want to give money to a man who funds groups who propose gay hate. So they're like, if you want to pay for another movie and then go see this one, that's fine.
I see.
So that maybe that's similar to your situation. Maybe you're voting with your dollars that you don't want to see this kind of things in games, but if you buy it used, then it's like you're not voting with your dollars anymore.
No, because what I've said before is my time is worth more than my money. So
I gotcha.
I can't, like, I would love to play the game, and I'd love to like sit down and finish it and experience it, because I've heard, you know, some really good things and other things that, you know, I think are worth talking about, where it's like, you know, the differences between what's happening in the game and the gameplay. Bluto narrative dissonance, as people like to say.
Which is true.
Yeah, absolutely true. But, you know, it's like, if I sit down and play that for 10 hours, that's 10 hours of time I could be spending with something else.
It's not 10. It would be...
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, however amount of time it is, I could be spending that time doing other things.
Valid.
Which
Very
is
valid.
Worth way more than, you know, than the $60 that I could be giving to the company.
And honestly, like, nothing that you'd see in that game is anything that's unique to that game. So
sure.
If you want to, there are games that like do the narrative dissonance thing to a greater degree. There are games that do the small gestural things that she does better, like Last of Us. I said how basically The Last of Us took what I wanted Tomb Raider be and what I wanted Bioshock Infinite to be, and took like the best of those things and just made it into something that transcends both of them.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So are you excited for some DLC coming to The Last of Us in the future?
Nope.
No.
I'm so spent. It was
me too,
the game. It was so hard.
Do you think that this is kind of like... So, do you think the DLC is kind of over? Critically versus sales, like, versus... Give me, break it down, because I see there's two different realms. Like, there's critically, people look at DLC and can say, like, well, is this, we can look at this in terms of it's like merit value. Or you can say, like, is this worth it because it's selling? Like, what are your opinions on both the kind of the sides of the coin of the DLC?
Well, just to speak broadly to my own personal opinion, in terms of your original question, is DLC dead?
Yeah.
I do not think so. I think it will be here forever because it's a great way to get people to pre-order from specific retailers. And it's a great tool in one retailer's fight against another to get those pre-orders in at that store. Like, if you want this cape for Batman, you gotta order it at GameStop. But if you want Catwoman's super costume, then you got to order it at Target. So I think that's going to stick around because I think it works to a certain degree. It's something I think about when I pre-order a game.
Really?
Or when I'm looking into...
Wow.
Yeah, because it's something that people mention in reviews.
Really?
Yeah. When Batman Arkham City came out, people were like, well, if you want the Catwoman stuff, you got to get it from wherever. And
that's...
I was like,
that so much.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if they
I didn't think that people actually cared about that sort of pre-order cosmetic bullshit. Like, get this new shotgun for your Fallout man. Like, I didn't think that people actually gave a shit about that. But you're absolutely right. Like,
well,
the more I talk to people in real life, they're like, well, you know, I was gonna buy the game, but then you know, the only way to get the Batman Beyond outfit was to buy it on Amazon, and I just I don't trust Amazon, and I'm like, everything you're saying doesn't make sense.
In this world of every one of those retailers is at our fingertips, if I read a review that casually mentions that this one thing is only at this one retailer, I'm just going to order it from that retailer because it's just as easy as ordering it from any other. So for that reason alone, I think it'll stick around.
I guess I think two very, very, very important distinction is DLC versus pre-order content. Because pre-order content is a sweaty nutsack fucking fistula, you know, like anal sloughed out papulous sweating dinosaur egg sized colon slough of a blemish on the game society right now. Like, retailer specific pre-order bullshit is the cancer of video games. Like, it is awful.
It's bad.
Not,
but you get
DLC ass DLC is, what about that?
DLC is DLC. So the first thing I'm thinking, and I'll just say this really quickly and move on, is that it's hard. I agree with you, but it is a little hard for me to make the distinction. Because sometimes, like for example, The Last of Us, I would maybe want the soundtrack. Is that DLC? I guess not. But I got that from pre-ordering it with the thing. But moving on. In terms of just DLC,
have you bought a season pass?
It has limited appeal, and I think that it will stick around because the people who love that game, like love it, will get it. For example, I love Valkyria Chronicles, so I bought everything. Every single mission they offered, I bought. And I loved it, played it all, like going crazy. But on the other hand, take another game, Guacamelee, love that game, think it's fantastic. But I think it's the perfect length, the perfect difficulty, and I like the last level is perfectly difficult. I don't want anything harder or anything different about that.
Sure.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like if you're a diehard fan, then... And you're a sucker, then DLC, they're going to make some money off of you. But otherwise, like, even with a great game like Guacamelee, I'm just not interested in more. What about you?
Well, I split it down the center, or I split it into two different groups for you, just to kind of get your take. Only because I have an agenda, and that's like, I think that you're right. Like, I think that DLC is kind of gotten to a place now where it only suits the hardcore,
mm-hmm.
or it suits people who are looking for an interesting experience that's kind of different from their other game. Or from the parent game. So, for example,
gotcha.
Like a Call of Duty map pack. Like if you buy that, that's DLC. Or if you buy like the extended Mass Effect planet thing to get the hovercraft shit, like
mm-hmm.
that's some DLC ass DLC you can pay for right there.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that, you know, is that I can't see that lasting as time goes on as like valued content that people will continue to pay for in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now they're kind of tricked. Like I think a lot of people have fallen under the spell of like, it's a season pass. Like you get all this shit. Like hurry, act now. Offers are standing. If you buy it now, we'll throw in this free camo outfit that you can wear and this deck chair. Like, it's this home shopping network kind of thing where it's like kind of tricking the less knowledgeable people who are just really into it. Mm-hmm. But then I think there's this other side of it that does a really good stuff where it's like telling a side story. Or
exactly.
It's like doing something like the last piece of Mass Effect 3 content where they're like, we're going to take all the everything and you go to the Citadel and you're planning a birthday party and you have these totally fucking absurd interactions as if you're like, these are all just like ripped from Star Trek Next Generation episodes, awkward sort of scenarios, like just kind of tongue in cheek with the whole thing, kind
yeah.
of creating an experience that suits a fan, but also is really fascinating at a critical level. Like, not that you're like, it's gonna, that's why I think there's a big separation. Like if you a new level in Borderlands, yeah, everybody loves Borderlands, everybody's gonna buy the new level. But then what if it's like, you know, hey, there's a new thing in Borderlands that it just completely subverts all the gameplay that you've been used to and is
yeah.
fascinating in and of itself, but you can't say, hey, do you like Borderlands? Here's more Borderlands. Like, it doesn't fall into that category.
I completely agree. Going back to the Valkyria Chronicles stuff, the reason why that was, I mean, I am a sucker. I would have bought anything they put out there. But they put out something great, which is now you play a couple missions at the end of the game from the enemy's point of view.
Cool.
And instead of having your whole army at your disposal, you control one single like juggernaut of a character, which is Salvaria. So you now are, instead of like,
oh, that's, you know, your bikini lady, right?
That's my bikini lady, bro. So now instead of thinking about like, well, I'll put my tank here, I'll put my scouts here, I'll put my heavies here, and I'll get my mechanics in behind the tanks, you're just thinking like, okay, Salvaria can like spear 30 guys in a row. Where can I like put her to line her up with as many of the opposing forces possible? Like,
sure.
They really changed the way you think about the game. They changed the story. It was worth however much they charged for it. But yeah, I don't want more Guacamelee levels.
Sure.
I don't need more. You made a good game. Like, and I'm not going to buy DLC for a game I didn't like. So it's like, and I'm only going to like your game if I feel like I got a full experience. So yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's telling, certain things are telling in terms of where the industry is going. For example, in Kingdom Rush 2, you can't buy the heroes. They come with the game, which was not the case with the first one. And apparently they made a shitload of money off of people buying the heroes in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in the second one, they decided to package those in. And as far as I know, there isn't too many things for you to buy in that game anymore besides the game itself. Also, things like Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon coming out, where that's like, they could have just made more, but instead they made a completely different, awesome thing, and it was a huge success.
Yeah.
So maybe they're now thinking differently about ways they can use the assets and engines they've made to make more money. And maybe it's good for us because they're going to make more interesting, different things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think you're right. I think that DLC in terms of horse armor is gone.
It's
I
dead.
Mean,
it's so dead.
In the sea of shit you can buy on the PlayStation Store, how are you even going to find that stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
like, you go into there and there's like 8 different ads just for the PSN subscription alone that I already have. You know, and Xbox yeah. 360 is no better, where you go on there and you're like, I don't want to watch this McDonald's advertisement. No, no. How many Stop pages it. Do I have to go through to not watch this?
Yeah. Good point. I actually hadn't thought about that at all. And I think you're right. I would be surprised if next generation we got trotted out horse armor and similar shit. You remember what a firestorm that was?
I think it will always exist. I think that it will always exist. I think that horse armor will always be a thing. Only because, you know, how insignificant something like that is to make and then how much a response it can garner on occasions. Gotcha. Like, it's like rolling the dice, you know.
Very true.
You know, it's like you play the penny slots and you win $1 million. Like, people are going to be chasing that dragon forever. Will it happen again? Probably not. And that's where I think you're right, where it's like we just need to hope that, you know, people, the developers are smart and make good decisions and make creative, you know, DLC content to support mm-hmm. their game and kind of, you know, give it a different vibe.
Yes. Agreed.
Yes.
Completely. Oh, man.
Hey, so do you care about Strider? Probably not too much.
Oh, no. I you know, I'm down. Okay. I'm ready to see what that's about. Talk about Capcom. Maybe they're not completely dead.
Well, it's Double Helix, which is kind of crazy, you know.
It's not Capcom?
No, I mean, they're publishing it, but it's Double Helix.
Oh, okay.
You know, the guys that brought you, like, ports of your favorite other games and who are doing Killer Instinct for the Xbox One.
Oh, they are? Oh.
Yeah. Like, kind of a weird thing. Looks cool. Reminds me of Bionic Commando Rearmed or...
Great game.
Yes. Or that other Orson Scott Card Jam. For the Xbox 360. Shadow Complex. Fucking incredible video game.
I never played that.
You need to.
Shadow Complex. Is it on PC?
No. I think it's only for Xbox. And it's potentially the best Xbox exclusive? I don't know. I wouldn't.
Oh my God.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Now I'm so depressed that I don't have like an Xbox at my fingertips. I gotta like gingerly ask my brother.
Yeah, it looks cool. Like, you get new abilities and you open up different areas of the map. You run really fast, flip kind of funny, and your sword, you know, swipes in an arc. So, looks pretty Strider-y. I have no fond memories to the Strider series, so I don't know if you feel any different about it. But
can I tell you that I just typed in Shadow Complex into GameStop.com, and there are 0 results?
Yeah.
What? Where do you find this game?
It's download only.
Oh, it's download only.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I have no... I never played the original whatever, the older version. This kind of came out of nowhere for me. But yeah, people are making a stink about it. Hopefully it'll be cool.
Yeah, I've been hearing that too. Like, oh, Capcom's back. They got Strider. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't know, man.
We don't know anything about it. I mean, I guess they're showing us more gameplay than they do normally when they announce something new. And it looks fun. It looks fast. I mean, I always appreciate those like 2D quick moving kind of deals. So
absolutely. I mean,
could be fun.
If it's similar to either of those games, Bionic Commando or Shadow Complex, then it sounds awesome.
He's got like classic Japanese ninja hair.
Like, yes.
He's got like the like, it could be like a brownie that exploded and then like when it exploded it was warm, but then it froze.
Yeah.
So now you've got Japanese crazy ninja hair.
Yeah, an underwater brownie.
An underwater brownie, exactly.
So I guess I've been kind of thinking about maybe trying to figure out how to play some old Strider, since, you know, I don't really have a means to do it. I want to try and play the arcade game.
Yeah, it was an arcade game.
Yeah.
We got to buy a cabinet. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You got 2K? You got 2,000 lying around?
Wait, for a cabinet?
I don't know. How much cabinets?
I've owned an arcade cabinet. Cost me $100.
Which one?
I owned Carrier Air Wing.
What?
It's a left-rightly airplane shooty game.
Looking it up right now.
I was kind of stupid because I bought it. It was $100 on Craigslist. There was $40 worth of quarters inside the slot. The guy's like, I don't just fucking keep it. So I drug it up to my apartment, played it a bunch, beat it a couple times. Then I was like, yeah, I'm good. I moved again and I was like, I'm not going to deal with taking this with me. Little did I know, like, the game is actually pretty well regarded. And like, I really regret hanging on to it because it was a really freaking awesome game. And like, for the amount that I paid for it, like, I made out quite nicely. Even though I sold it for like three times as much, I still was like, damn, I should have kept that. But yeah, if you're spending a grand on an arcade cabinet, you're doing it as wrong as you possibly can.
Oh my God. I didn't know. That's so awesome.
You should not spend more than $500 on an arcade cabinet.
But then you gotta pay to move it, right? Or can you move it yourself?
You can move it with like a group of guys in a pickup truck.
Gotcha. Okay. Because in the Northeast, we don't have pickup trucks, and we're all women, so I don't.
Well, then you can rent a U-Haul and a dolly, and essentially, you know, you just spend a few bucks more, and that's fine. I mean, that's only maybe $75 more on top of that, and you don't break your fucking back after, you know, to do it.
What about, like, so this game is, I can understand why it'd be, like, $100-$300. How much is, like, a, like, Marvel versus Capcom 2? What are we talking? Like, close to 1,000?
Yeah, well, probably, like, a big-ass fighting game like that, like, that's, those were on, like, a big, weird CRT flat screen thing, too, weren't they?
Yes.
Like, I remember them being just like huge.
Gigantic. Yeah.
That thing is probably going to run you into closer to like $900, $700. But like, it all depends on where you're going too. Like, the crazy thing is once you start digging into like that arcade pinball scene, you will find niche groups where you live. And it's like this weird, like incestuous trading ring that's going on where you're like, all you got to do is get in. And like learn the secret handshake, and that's when the deals get exposed to you. And they're like, hey, somebody's trying to get rid of this, you know, X-Men Sons of the Atom. Like, it's only $350, and I mean, it's got one dead control on it, but like, we can fix that up. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, Video Games New York. They sell. I think I'm losing you. Are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, okay, you're there. So yeah, at Video Games New York, they sell like those switches and all that stuff, and it's actually like the first thing you see when you walk in, and it makes you want it.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah. Man, I love buttons.
Yeah. That was my problem too with the arcade thing. Like, it has that tattoo sort of like vibe for you. Like, I got the arcade machine, and I was like, now I just want more.
Yeah,
but that's gone now, and I don't know. Maybe I'll get one in the future at some point, but it has to be really. It's going to be a Metal Slug if it's anything.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. If I had to do anything, Metal Slug would be up there. Yeah.
Get a Neo Geo cabinet so you can just like have like a 6-slot board in it. And that's the other terrifying thing. That's the other reason why I got out of it too, is because like, you know, I was like, I'm going to open it up and see, try and learn some about this. Open up the back thing and you're like, oh God, this is an electric chair for standing up people. Like, you want to terrify yourself, go read about arcade cabinet maintenance and capacitor related death.
Oh God. No. If I did buy one, I would want a Pac-Man or Mrs. Pac-Man. That would be the one that I would want. Probably would be more expensive.
A little bit, just because of the name.
Just because of the name, but yeah. Like, after Pac-Man Championship DX on the PlayStation, I became like a Pac-Man fiend. Like, it's one of my goals to go to.
You got the fever.
It's one of my goals to go to Barcade in New York City and set get my name on the board. That's like a goal of mine.
Just unplug it.
I think they're pretty strict about that. Oh. They take their shit seriously. But it's interesting to me that like things like that are popping up. Like Barcade wasn't around 2 years ago. And now they're super famous, and they're, you know, copycats in other cities are happening where it's like just a cool kind of hipstery-ish bar, but then there's like 30 kept up cabinets in there.
Yeah.
That kind of thing's pretty cool. I'm glad that's happening. Cool.
I'm glad that the arcades are going somewhere.
Yes. They just opened up the new one in there was this iconic one. Did I already talk about this in Chinatown in NYC? And it was like the place in Manhattan to play Street Fighter 4.
They
It closed because it was like a front for the triads, and then but it just reopened after like 2 years, and they've got their SF4 there. It's more family friendly, and I'm like super pumped.
And it's
suck.
A pizza place.
CC's Pizza next door.
Just it's 10 bucks.
Pizza vomit on your Street Fighter. Yes, I'm going to go check that out. You should get out here, and we'll do that.
Okay, that sounds great. I'd love to.
Yeah, just drive out here.
Okay, be there. I'm coming over right now. I'm actually
okay,
on the way.
We have a bed for you.
All right, great.
It's ready for you.
Awesome.
So get your ass out here.
I'm on the way already, I told you.
Okay, good.
Hey, I got one more thing I want to talk to you about, and that's
yes.
only because I've been playing a ton of Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah.
Tons,
like optional stuff. Are you at the end game yet?
I'm like 25 hours in on chapter 12.
What the fuck are you doing?
Am I doing something wrong?
Yes, you are.
Really?
You should. Well, then again, I played it on casual mode, so I don't know.
I'm trying to make everybody have relationships.
But that'll happen. You've got 25 chapters plus endgame shit for that to happen.
But
so
I want them to all be friends by the time we go into the end battle.
They probably will be. You have no choice. I literally didn't level that much. Like, I did not grind that much. All my people were like chummy. They were all chummy.
So that's that's kind of where I was going to ask your opinion. Like, I've gotten to this point now where I'm midway through the game, and I'm starting to get all the new, secret characters from the future, sort of thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm getting all those kids, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I'm making them all be friendly with everybody. But now, like, I'm burning through levels so fast. Like, I have gone through their base level, through like a reclass, and then through another full top of their last like end of the tree. So I'm like, so now I have to respec them, and that's where I'm getting really uncomfortable. I'm like, what am I gonna do with Crom? What am I gonna make him into? He can't be a great hero anymore. Like, he's not getting any more levels. I gotta turn him into something else. But I can't make him an archer. What the fuck? He can't be an archer.
Well, here's the so you can respec them. So you're at level 20, you're telling me?
Like, a lot of my characters are approaching level 20 very quickly on the
Jesus.
Top of their on the top of their talent or class tree thing.
Are you using reeking boxes to call enemies to the map like ad nauseum, or are you
here like, and there. I fight every optional battle. You know, like every time you close your DS and walk away, like
more pop
open
up.
It up, more pop up, yeah.
Yeah.
So I fight all those. I think I also kind of like messed it up. Like, I only use about half the roster.
Oh, okay. So those guys that you do use, you want to be like super buff.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, hey, this like, you know, really stick up her ass mage lady, I don't care about you. You can go away and die.
Yeah. That's just such a different way to play than I did, because when I didn't reach, none of my characters reached 20 until maybe like chapter 22, 23. So that's insane. If you respec into the same class, there are more points and skills to be had.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah. Like, you can restart from level 1 again and go through that.
Yeah. And you'll be good. There's a couple random characters that for no reason whatsoever, which I don't believe you have yet, can go past level 20.
Really?
But your mains can't. So, yeah. But yeah, but how are you liking it in general? Like, is it, in terms of the, so in terms of the story, things are changing, but in terms of the battles, I don't really remember. Are things changing, or does it feel you're fighting the same battle over and over again?
Everything is honestly pretty easy. There's been a handful, maybe two or three around the midpoint where I'm like, oh shit, this is actually kind of challenging. And that's for two reasons. One, because they start giving you these optional objectives where they're like, oh, like save all these peasants or, you know, go talk to all these cities or don't, you know, go talk to this other character that now I figured some things out where I'm like, oh, you just fucking throw Crom at him and then he recruits him to your team and everything's
exactly.
good. Like I did not get that before.
Yeah, neither did I. It took a while.
Yeah. So now, like, with these optional challenges, like, I'm trying to do these full clears on these levels. So that makes it a little harder.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is, when you get to that midway point and, like, the optional character levels start opening up, like, you can get to some pretty high-level battles early on. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get in deeper than you should. So I played a couple of those, and some have been really challenging to the point of like one I was like I can't even play this right now, like I just got massacred.
Yeah.
The other ones have been like a delightful struggle, like, you know, very different from what I've used to, but overall, exactly. You know, the main levels are not too challenging. You know, I play it pretty safe. Like, I double up my units all the time, they're always stacked.
So that's good. And I think that as you play more, you'll find that you'll be getting more interesting challenges that are different. And I think that the difficulty ramps up. Like, there are a couple cliffs. Like, it just, like, from random chapters, like from 17 to 18, it'll be like, oh my god, the game just got crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if 17 to 18 specifically, but like, so there'll be a couple of those. And the nice thing is when the game gets really hard, you'll think that there's only one way to win a battle.
Sure.
But then you'll go on YouTube and, like, there's actually tons of ways. There's just one way that worked for you with your crew, which is kind of cool. Like, I, for example, the last battle, I won't spoil anything, but in the last battle, I will not spoil anything. I basically made a big phalanx. I just put all my strong people on the outside and I put my weak people on the inside. And I just went, and that ended up being what worked. And I watched on YouTube people do completely different things, and it worked. But they also had, like, different loadouts. So I appreciate that about the game. Lets you do it the way that you want to.
Yeah.
While still being a huge challenge.
The phalanx technique, like the turtle, is kind of what I do. Is like I just bunch all my guys up to protect the weak ones, and then just let the enemies come to me. So that's like the most patient way that I would, like, that's like worst case scenario, this level is too hard, I'm just like, okay, everybody, you stay back here, we just wait a bunch of turns till they come to us and really slowly pick them away. But
it's
then
so powerful,
you know.
Go
later on.
On
the game, like, they start spawning enemies in behind you, and then, like, reinforcements come in, so it ends up adding extra challenge. But by that point, like, the crew that I'm working with, like the consistent, you know, 12 characters that I'm using, like, I always have a way that I can beat a level just because of, like, my main character guy is so insanely overpowered that it's not even an issue. And I didn't, it's crazy.
You must have, I feel like you, what do they call it? I can't even remember the word for it. You grinded like crazy.
I didn't grind a ton though. Like, I guess maybe I did. Like, early game, I think I was playing a lot of matches.
Okay, because 20, that's insane. But I'm glad that it's still challenging you a little bit even when you're that high. Although I don't know how I don't know the differences on hard, but yeah, great.
I'm just
game.
Playing on normal or whatever the standard default difficulty is.
The weirdest thing for me about that game is that somehow the story, like, held up. Like, it's not a great story, don't
oh
get
god
me wrong,
no.
But, like, at the end there was, like, an ending and it kind of made sense a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like they actually, like, laid the groundwork for it to work. I was pretty impressed.
Sure.
Yeah, great little game.
I'm excited to see it. I especially like the characters. And then, you know, kind of on this like anime mind frame mental space I've been in lately, where I'm like, these characters are a lot better than I would have expected.
Yes.
Because like, sure, you've got your uptight mage lady who is really OCD about everything, but then it's like you also have characters like Crom, who, you know, is not a multifaceted character in a Japanese RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost, I'd say about half, maybe less, are actually interesting characters.
Yes.
That go beyond just like the clothes they're wearing and a one word description of them.
Mm-hmm. And you get them in, you know, different chunks. So
yeah,
one character who you might not think is interesting because he or she may just not be featured in the story may have a lot of interesting things to say if you happen to level up the relationship with another character.
Yeah, yeah.
You get those little conversations.
Yep.
So there's things like that. Yeah, I would completely agree with you about Crom. Unfortunately, the main character is total blank slate. Amnesia,
oh, yeah, yeah.
All that jazz. But
sure.
But even the main character towards the end turns out to be like moderately interesting. So,
yeah, I'm getting some vibes of things to come as to how things are going to change. But even like some of the stupider little like, you know, future characters you get are pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, definitely fun characters to have around that have. Mm. I don't know if you've. What is it? I just got Gregor or Gregor. Gregor, yeah.
Yeah, Gregor.
Yeah, that is a pretty rad character to have in a game. Like,
yeah.
Yes, a little bit of a caricature, but also like super fun and fascinating that he exists and mm-hmm. and reacts to the world in this way.
Yes, definitely makes the whole experience richer. Like, it reminds me of, I mean, it brings to mind how poor the characterizations are in other games of this ilk that I like, mm-hmm. such as Valkyria 2. And there is a lot of talking in that game, but none of it is interesting.
Right.
Just like your typical anime stereotypes doing their typical anime stereotype things.
Uh-huh.
And there's not even that many of them. This, they have a shitload of them, and they're all pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the typical anime stereotype ones are fun too, where you're like, oh,
yeah.
This is the big, dumb, brute, doofus dude. But, you know,
but it turns
fun.
Out in a side conversation that he loves chess. You know, like,
yeah.
Something like that. They do that. They do it pretty well.
Yep, absolutely. Fun game. Yes. I'm loving it, and I've been playing a ton of it. I'm just getting to the point now where I'm like, I don't know if I should be pushing forward harder or if this respecking thing is just normal, and I've been trying to kind of stay away from online stuff so I don't fall into that trap of like, I've been doing everything wrong from the beginning. I may as well just burn this fucking game right now because I screwed it all up. I'm not going to have the best characters. Why even bother?
I hate that feeling. I luckily I'm not a completionist, so it doesn't get to me, but yeah.
I've been looking up some of the characters like that you can get, some of the optional things, and I at least am able to be like, no, fuck that character. I will never use them. I don't want their stupid kid. Like, now,
yeah.
If I had known this and I had played from the beginning, like, and I was trying to get all these people to kind of, you know, to collect all the characters, like, I could see I should have done it differently. But I'm still like, no, F that dude.
Yeah.
I hate that individual. They may as well just go die.
Send them to their death.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. There's so many characters. And even like through DLC, you can like get new ones and all that stuff. I'm not even touching the DLC. That's another, going back to our previous conversation, it's just too much. That game is pretty big. And then at the end, there's a whole bunch of optional stuff that you can do
that
isn't DLC. And it's like, if I've got this other optional stuff that isn't DLC, why do I need your massive mountain of DLC? So, yeah. That's a callback.
That's what we like to call a callback.
A callback.
I think we should probably end this here.
Yes.
Because it's been quite some time and it's time for bed.
And sleepy time.
Sleepy time. Well, thanks, Jamie.
Thank you, Griffin. Good talking to you. I'll see you in a couple hours when you drive here.
I'm almost there. I'm crossing the border right now.
Okay, cool.
All right.
New Jersey cops will stick their fingers up your bottom. Just be ready.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, I didn't bring any toll bridge change either. Because those don't exist out here.
Oh, man. It's all easy pass.
I'm just going to run it.
Just running.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, bring the fingers on, baby.
Oh, God.